listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com, seeking solutions.
You are all about to get on this record. Getting to be a strange place. A lot of crazy things are happening. A lot of questions need to be asked. A lot of puzzles need to be put together. And here are all the pieces that you're going to get from one man right here on The Big Puzzle with your host, the one and only man from Canada, Mr. Barry Prince.
Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and you gators and grannies, to this Sunday afternoon edition of The Big Puzzle. My name is Barry Prince. I'm coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia. I'm broadcasting through the facilities of People's Internet Radio and being simulcast on shakeandwakeradio.com. We are a viewer-supported station, guys, and I always start the shows with a little plug for any financial assistance can be given to the stations. I know they much would appreciate that. There's a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes, a lot of hours put in that people don't ask to be compensated for, but if you can share a few bucks, I know they would much, much appreciate it. Today, of course, I've got back. I told him I wouldn't call him the Energizer Bunny today, so I have back with me for the next hour the Duracell Bunny today, because he's running on Duracell today, is Roger Landry. And anybody that's listened to my shows over the years knows that Roger's a pretty regular on my show. I've had the pleasure of knowing this man for about 7 years of my life, and just love what he has to bring to the table. I thank Roger for joining me today, and I think we're going to get into a little bit of the chaos, to say an understatement of what's going on in your great country now. Roger, welcome to the show, buddy. I didn't call you the Energizer Bunny, and you will give me 1 minute to talk during the next hour.
No. You missed the point. When we were discussing that prior to the show, I said you would mention it. I didn't say you would call me it. I said you would mention it. Okay. You did. Not only that, but in multiple iterations.
Well, I don't know what else to call you at this point in history, buddy, so it seems to be a suiting title for you. But, yeah, I love it.
Okay.
Let's get into this.
There's been a lot of other titles, but you've asked me not to swear on your show. So, all right, look, if we just stop and consider for a second, what most people don't do because they're so busy looking at the curtains behind the curtains that Toto has just pulled back, what most people fail to do is to step back and look and see what's actually going on. What's going on to the left of you? What's going on to the right of you? What's going on above you, below you, and behind you? Most people only see what's going on in front of them, and that is intentional. This is called programmed ignorance. This is a factor in every nation on the planet. It's just more pronounced in some nations than others. This is what we're suffering from here because, as you and I have discussed, COVID-19 is a freaking lie. It's the biggest lie ever told in modern history. It has affected the entire planet, a global economy, a global society. It is literally causing death as a result of the mechanisms being used supposedly to fight a disease that has less killing power than last year's flu did. Mm-hmm. But yet, a vast majority of the free world, including the United States of America, tucked themselves away very, very quickly into their homes with their tails between their legs because the government said, if you don't, you're going to die. And they did. And when they got tired of it, they started to complain a little bit. It was time for Toto to pull back another curtain. He did. And what was that? Okay, well, you can come out now, but you have to wear your leash. You have to wear your mask. Which it has been proven over and over and over again does more damage to your body and does not prevent the massive spread of the disease as we're being told. This has been debunked over and over again, but now there is, there are politicians in California that are saying, if you don't wear a mask in my city, you're going to be accused of domestic terrorism. Yeah, let that sink in and do a search on Google or search on Bing. You'll find it. It's there because the story is published on the Liberty Beacon. What we're looking at today is the self-destruction of what was the most progressive, the most powerful, the most economically sound nation on the planet is eating itself alive for a lie. But 10 years ago when I first met you, Barry, or about 8 years ago, one of the first things we talked about was eventually the globalists would take over the planet. They would find a way to take over the planet and enslave all of humanity who would be beholden to them for any standard of living that could be afforded to them. Mm-hmm. Take a look around you. What the hell do you see?
Roger, I actually went back and listened to some of our shows about 7 years ago. And what you just said is true. We kind of talked then about they were going to use two or three mechanisms to bring society to their knees. We talked about a monetary collapse, which is part and parcel to what's going on right now. But we also talked about the release of a worldwide pandemic. And boy, this pandemic doesn't even get close to the definition of a pandemic. I looked in this real quick, Roger. There's five different levels of pandemic that hit society. And my understanding is the number one level, the lowest level possible in society, for something to be actually classified as a pandemic, it has to affect 1.5% of the population. It gets to a number one level when it hits 7 or 8% of the population, which is a full-blown pandemic, and we have never even gotten close to a quarter of those numbers in Canada. Yet they use the word pandemic because it strikes fear instantly into people's hearts. Go ahead. What a great word to use, buddy. Pandemic, pandemic, pandemic. I'm sick of hearing it. It's not a pandemic, it's a flu. Go ahead.
If you stop to consider that the CDC had to admit that of the 260 or 270,000, whatever they're choosing to lie about today, people in the United States that have died from COVID-19, that was a big mistake. It was actually a misrepresentation. See, the total number of 270,000 or close to is the number of people who have died with COVID-19. The number of people who have actually died from, listen to me, not with, from COVID-19 is less than 20,000. Last year, the flu in the United States alone, by the CDC's own reckoning, killed over 86,000 people. That was a lie. The reason the CDC said it was only 86,000 is because they own patents for flu vaccines. Obviously, they didn't work very well. So they lowballed the number. The actual number is about 125,000 people died, or about half of the people that have supposedly died from this. So let's go with the real number. The real number is about 25,000, and I'm giving that a little, died from, not with, from COVID-19, and most of them were aged individuals with two or three other diseases that any flu would have been a trigger for. So we are looking at a huge lie. I have said over and over again, and I've said it on your show and every show I've done for the last 6 months, this is not and never has been about a virus. That's the window dressing. That's what the hell's behind the curtain that Toto pulls back. There is no massive killer virus going around the planet. And how can I say that, being basically a layman to the medical world? All right, I would ask anybody out there to show me any proof, because even the government says they don't have it, any proof whatsoever that the virus causing this massive global deadly pandemic has ever been isolated in a laboratory. It hasn't. How the hell do you make a vaccine for something you've never isolated in a laboratory? Are you starting to catch on, people? You're all being used as idiots because they programmed you that way for the last 50 years.
Well, Roger, the CDC came out and said that. The Health Canada has actually stated they have not been able to isolate the virus. One of the things that I find, Roger, and I've had this conversation with a lot of people, is that when we approach people, we have to approach them on a level of common sense. So a common sense approach to people.
Wait a minute, what's that?
This is something that even somebody that is completely brain dead, that been programmed all their life, has to ask themselves a question, is that if they have not, and this is right from government, they have not been able to isolate this virus ever, then what are we creating a vaccine for? Period. Yep. And it gets them thinking, Roger. It really does. Go ahead.
Let's click down a few more. And yes, we will get to the politics in America, but there's a few other things that people need to understand, and we're already on this topic. Let's go to the topic of masks. Because that may seem to be something rather inconsequential to most people. Why are we talking about that? So you got to put a freaking mask on. Put a mask on, okay, and shut up. Let me explain to everybody out there that surgical masks were never, ever intended to be worn for more than a couple of hours at a shot. And even in, and there is peer-reviewed research done on this, even in an isolated operating room, they're not very effective. They're not, unless you get a perfect seal to the face. And if you have any type of whiskers or a beard or a mustache, it's never going to seal. So these things don't work. Now, I started this off by saying something. I'm wondering how many of you caught on to that. I said, and then after we had all run whimpering into our homes and locked ourselves down, we finally started to get a little pissed about this. So we started complaining. And they said, whoa, you can come out of your house, but you have to wear your leash. I mean, your mask.
Yeah.
Well, anybody? That was
I said it's insane, but go ahead. I got some thoughts.
That's exactly what it is. That's what your mask is. It's a leash. When you go into Walmart, they're going to browbeat the hell out of you. And here, for a while where I live, you couldn't even get in if you didn't have a mask on. Apparently, there were some people who actually did a little research and found out that the governor, which actually doesn't have the right anyway, but the governor had not mandated masks. They were basically voluntary, but they were recommended. So even Walmart had to let you in, but they browbeat the hell out of you. Now, let's take that to the second level. First off, if you don't want to wear a mask and they tell you to leave a store because they don't know, they're not allowed to ask whether or not you have a medical condition that warrants that, that's a $75,000 fine. How many people know that? That's real. That's actually real. How many people are actually going to use that, or are they going to be too afraid to? That's a mechanism designed for you people. It is. So now we've got the masks, okay? These are literally a conditioning tool, and they are working really good. Mm-hmm. Because, again, now you've got a mayor out there in California saying, if you're in my city and you're not wearing a mask, you're a domestic terrorist. Okay. Now, we've already considered the fact that this thing doesn't have the knockdown power of last year's flu. We've already considered the fact that a vast majority of, meaning 80 to 90% of what they're calling COVID-19 deaths, are in fact people who died with COVID-19. Now, let me ask you a question. If they've never isolated the virus, how did they even know they died with COVID-19? But the ones that died of COVID-19, even the CDC had to state, when they stated this, which was about a month ago, that less than 10,000 had actually died from COVID-19.
They sure brushed that story down quick, didn't they?
How about these doctors all over the planet who are stepping up to say, this is a lie, this is bull crap, there is no second wave, you need to listen. Look at the reaction. The governments are stepping on them in the UK, doing everything they can to shut them up as soon as possible. Anybody who believes that this isn't a global concerted effort of the upper tier that run planet Earth. This is the group we call the elites. And every country on this planet is being affected by this. They had a drill 4 years ago. They've been talking about this since 2004. This has been in the plans, and we have been talking about it, and we've been called nuts and conspiracy theorists, tinfoil hat wearers, and you know what? I should really feel good today. I should be looking at everybody out there and going, I tried to freaking tell you, you bunch of morons, but that's not going to help anybody. So what do we do? People like Barry and I, who have been talking about this for almost a decade, we continue to talk about it. We continue to educate you. And now I've seen the traffic on the Liberty Beacon websites, and we've got a half a dozen of them all over the planet. The app traffic's up by 300%. All of a sudden, we're not such crazies. We're not wearing tinfoil hats, because what we tried to tell you 5 and 6 years ago is knocking at your door today.
Here yes, it is, Roger. Yes, it is. And we don't like to say we like to be vindicated, but a lot of people now that, you know, called me a nutcase years ago aren't calling me a nutcase so much anymore. That I do see a very, very fast awakening in the Canadian public. Really up against it up here right now, buddy. What Krista Freeland just came out. I don't know if I've sent you that video yet, but she just came out and told the Canadian people it'd be a great idea that if we took money from the rich and kind of offset some of the businesses that are suffering in Canada, like the tourism, and in her beautiful little face with her heart pouring out to the Canadian people. I mean, that was a stage one of a conditioning. The Canadian government actually has legislation in place in Canada, Roger, where they can seize any bank account and all bank accounts in Canada under a declared financial emergency, which they could do very easy right now with any kind of collapse going on. So kiss your money goodbye, get it out of the banks, guys. What, are they going to create a bank run now? This came right out of Krista Freeland's mouth, Roger. Just absolutely damning. Along with, of course, Trudeau's talk on the Great Reset. Go read the Great Reset with Klaus Schwab, guys. Go read that book, because I've got halfway through it now, and it's unbelievable. Paragraph for paragraph. What's going on, Roger? Go ahead.
Look, if you need to consider, nice little rant there, Barry. If you need to consider, which you do, okay, what I've been talking about has been a non-existent virus. What I've been talking about, or one that exists but is basically akin to your yearly flu, and it doesn't even do real good at that. But why then? Why go through so much? Why sell it to the media? Actually, they own the media. Why have the media scaring us all across the planet? Why be destroying one economy after another if we know for a fact, and oh, by the way, where there's supposedly a second wave, 90% less beds filled than what you're being told. Yeah, 90% of those beds are empty. What we are looking at is what Barry just talked about, the great global reset. We are looking at a monetary reset that was absolutely inevitable. It had to happen. It almost happened in 2008, and they had to print between $23 and $30 trillion from these faux banks that we call Federal Reserves just to keep things going. The reason why they didn't want it to happen in 2008 is they wouldn't have been on the top when it all was said and done. They needed to facilitate a mechanism that would allow them not only to stay on top, but to end up in a stronger position than what they started, but yet do a total global financial reset. If you go to the people of planet Earth and say, tomorrow your money's not going to be worth anything, we're going to play a new game. You know what? They're not going to like that, and they're coming after you. But if you tell the whole world you got to lock down, there's a deadly virus, and you lock them down until everything but the biggest corporations fail, you now control all of the people, all of the economy, all of the industry. Are you catching my drift? You couldn't pull the reset off as a financial anything. It wouldn't have worked. What did work? Gee, does COVID-19 sound familiar?
Yeah, just the level of cognitive dissonance in our world just blows me away, Roger. That, you know, there's no excuse for not being able to see this right now. We're supposed to be intelligent people, and there's absolutely no reason for people not to be seeing what's going on around them, yet they just refuse to see it. It scares the heck out of me because, I said, we have a level of dissonance, or maybe it is a lack of testicles in our society that scares the heck out of me. It really does. I mean, this vaccine. So I want to talk on the vaccine here in a minute, Roger. But that's what really disturbs me right now is the amount of people that are walking around with diapers on their faces.
So you're talking about testicular deficiency in a massive proportions.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what it is, Roger.
I know. It's not what it is. It's not what it is, and I used to think that way, and there's a lot of other people who think that way, and these are good people like you, and they work to get the truth out just like you. But why don't you try marrying this to something else I've been preaching literally for almost 10 years, and that is the eradication of programmed ignorance. We have seen a steady increase of propaganda in our schools since the end of World War II, again, done intentionally. Ignorance has been enforced upon, all of North America, just about. And why? Because now, when a young girl brings her homework home, and you've heard me say this before, Mary, and shows it to her mother, and her mother gets irate and goes to school the next day and says, why? The lesson said, did you know that a benevolent government grants you your rights? Meaning, if you aren't a good doobie, the government can take your rights away. No. See, they're unalienable and protected by the government. Each time they change one sentence, one meaning, something that basic, something rooted that deep in a society like America, that ripples through. When you go 60 years into the future and it's still happening, what do you see? You see a society that is not stupid, a society that has been programmed with ignorance. And this is what we're seeing in the Western world. It's not a bunch of stupid people. It's a bunch of people that have been programmed to be as ignorant as they possibly can. Bingo! Success! What do you and I do? We eradicate that programmed ignorance. We stick a needle in that balloon. We pop it.
Well, we ask common sense questions, Roger, and there's no common sense left in the world today. Period. None. No matter what you look at, doesn't matter what issue we talk about, there is no common sense. It's absolutely gone insane. But, you know, we talk about this lots, Roger, and we've talked about this before, that this didn't happen overnight.
No.
Now, you know, 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago, there was psychopaths sitting down in think tanks in a dark corner somewhere planning where society was going to go in the next 30, 40 years. They laid the programs in place. They took over all aspects of our society, and here we are today. Like you said, people walking around like zombies. And you're
so
right.
Why Trump?
Programmed. It is programmed. But that seems to be the biggest obstacle I run into, is getting rid of that programmed ignorance, that inability to look at truth, whether it hit me over the head with a hammer, whether you watch the guy shoot a person right in front of you and you still don't believe it's a murder. You got to accept that that's a murder, and that's what we're up against. And they still call it non-murder. Go ahead.
Okay. Do you want to see how I plug Sleepy Joe Biden into this?
Yeah. A great man himself. Go ahead.
Okay. Let's talk about a guy who literally couldn't put together more than 100, maybe 200 people at the most. The average was about 40 to 50 people. In some cases, there were less than a dozen people at his rallies. When they had a car parade, there was 21 cars. The average participation in a Trump rally was, I think, 28,000, with them being as high as 48,000 and as few as 18,000. As few as 18,000. When they had a car parade for Trump, and you can Google this, there were over 3,000 cars, in the general vicinity, and the local police and the sheriff's department said there could have been as many as 30,000 vehicles involved. We're talking about apples and oranges. The reason why Sleepy Joe was never allowed out of his basement during 90% of the actual campaigning was they knew what the disaster would be, but they also knew that they had it fixed. Because if you listen to Eric Coomer, who worked for Dominion, way up there, you know, director of security, and he's on a conference call with Antifa members. Listen to what I'm about to say. This guy works for Dominion voting machines. At the time, he was in charge of their security of the voting machines. He's talking to Antifa on a conference call, and I'm going to paraphrase because it's not in front of me and I won't use the bad word. He says, Trump win? Don't worry about Trump winning. I made sure that ain't going to blanking happen. This is what he told everybody. That is the most incriminating sentence on the planet. We also see videos of once they kick out all the poll watchers and the vote counters because they say they're shutting the vote down for the evening. Then you see on this video these women pulling these ballot boxes, a bunch of them, out from underneath a desk. And the estimate is it's anywhere from 28 to 35,000 votes. And they proceed to put them in. Now, they're patting themselves on the back for having done something really smart and getting away with sticking at least 35,000 votes into the machine, and nobody's any of the smarter, except nobody remembered to turn the camera off up in the corner.
Oops.
And the whole thing was recorded. Oops. Now, we've got Attorney General Barr, who I used to have some respect for, chubby little Barr, steps up there and says, you know what? I don't see any proof of widespread vote fraud in this country. I wrote an article which absolutely pointed out beyond a shadow of a doubt there's 14 states right now where there are issues pending. There's 8 states right now that have lawsuits, and there's 5 states right now that are looking really, really, really bad for the Dems. Mm-hmm. So if there's no proof of widespread vote fraud, Mr. Attorney General, what's going on in these states? Because he's supposed to have Trump's back. He's Trump's attorney general. Do you know how deep the deep state goes now? His attorney general is saying to the public, I don't see any proof of widespread vote fraud, except I could name off at least a dozen states that have already reported it, and at least 9 states that are already in investigations. And this morning it was announced, breaking news, the government has permitted the Trump experts to go in and do forensic research on 22 Dominion voting machines. That's a huge win.
I saw that this morning.
Yep, and that's published on TLB. Yep. But all of this is focused around why are we doing this? Most of you don't understand that this was almost as bad in 2016. It just never amounted to quite enough to beat Trump. But this time they figured they would have all of their metrics in place. What most of you don't understand is that in 2018, Trump, having seen what went on in 2016 and fearing what would go on in 2020, made an executive order stating that anybody or any company, it could be proved, took part in, you know, this type of illegal function, would lose all of their assets. Done. Okay. All right. So why did he do that? Anybody who thinks he wasn't ready for this, yeah, he was ready for it. The problem we're having here is the magnitude of this issue. We're talking about thousands of people that have to be involved in this. And we're talking about thousands of people coming forward to say what they saw that was wrong. So there's no doubt this is going to crash and burn on the Dems. There's no doubt about that. The question is, can they get him into office first? And why does that make so much difference? Y'all need to listen, because this gets very serious right now. If he is permitted to get in, which I'm still thinking he's not going to be, and even the Supreme Court may be necessary, but I do think there's a very good chance Trump's going to stay in office. But if he does get into office, what do you see happening, Barry?
Oh, hell. Period. I don't know how to explain it. That's what I would say.
I would tell you that right now, Trump, all of the things we discussed, the Great Reset, the whole nine yards, Trump has his own ideas. Trump has a way, has already said he can take us off the Federal Reserve System and use the U.S. resources, our coal, our iron ore, our how many of you people know that below the Southern Rockies is 3.5 to 5 trillion barrels of oil? Most of it's locked up in shale, but we're talking 3.5 to 5 trillion barrels. We have more oil in that part of the United States than the entire Middle East combined. That's how much oil is in the United States. It's just always been cheaper to get it somewhere else, but not anymore. So now Trump saying, you know, if I need to, I'll dump the Federal Reserve and we will have a dollar based on what it should be based on. Oops. Can I ask everybody another question? All right. President Kennedy was pop. He was killed. Why? Because he wanted to spoil the Federal Reserve's fund. That's it. Well, let me see. Trump wants to spoil the Federal Reserve's fund. Trump is already getting us out of wars, absolutely trashing the military-industrial complex's fund. And he's also, I don't know, bragged about hydroxychloroquine instead of vaccines, which gave the biggest corporate cabal on the planet a swift kick, and that would be the big pharma. So now Trump has not only kicked the Fed in the gut, he's kicked the Fed, he's kicked Big Pharma, he's kicked the military-industrial complex. Are you catching my drift? Why is he still alive? That totally amazes me. But maybe this is the way it's supposed to be. I personally think that they want Biden in so bad because the dystopia I was talking about before we got into this part of the conversation is exactly what Joe Biden will help them to get us into. Trump will do just the opposite. And he's been doing it for 4 years. They don't like him. They don't want him in there. Why don't they like him and why don't they want him in there? He's a billionaire. Isn't he one of their peeps? You got to remember, Rothschild bailed him out twice. Rothschild. Yeah, not a joke. But why? Why are they pushing back so hard against Trump? I'm going to tell you why. This guy, and I do like Trump. I've learned to like him. I didn't at first because he's a loudmouth. He's an egotist. He's got an ego bigger than the Matterhorn. But that's exactly what we need him to have right now in the spot he's in. Because if this guy was a coward, this country would have folded 6 months ago. The fact that this guy has a huge ego, you know what's feeding his ego? I'm going to tell you. If I get taken out or I die, because he's in his early 70s, I want to be able to understand that I did such good things for my country that I'm going to be talked about for the next 1,000 years. That's what Trump wants. And you know what? If feeding his ego is going to keep us safe or keep us less in trouble, I'm going to sit at the table with a shovel and keep his dish full.
Roger, let's talk about the COVID-19 vaccine for a few minutes, because I know you've been looking into it and some of the dangers. I also want to talk about the Great Barrington Declaration. You're aware of that, of course.
Yeah, but again,
can we speak on that for a minute?
Well,
any knowledge you have on it?
I don't really have a lot. I've read through it once. And the thing of it is, it's a wish list, basically, is what it is. All of these thoughts are thoughts that they have brought together from people who have a good mind and a decent understanding. Okay? That's what it is. It's a wish list. And I'm not telling anybody don't go and read it. But when you're looking for solutions to problems, nobody's going to go there for solutions. They're going to go there for a warm feeling and an understanding. But the solutions are going to come by unmasking or pulling back those curtains that you and I are constantly talking about. Because what's available to everybody, especially in the Barrington Declaration, what's available to everybody is always only at the most 90% of reality. It's the iceberg theory, and it's an absolute fact. Even your closest trusted friend has to keep something secret, always. And that's not a ploy against you. That's an absolute fact of life. If you look at the COVID-19 vaccine, you and I have already talked about that, okay? And this plays into all of this. This is what programmed ignorance is all about. The government says you need to take a vaccine because if you don't, you're a danger to everybody around you. Absolute poppycock. It's like if you go into a store and everybody's wearing a mask thinking it protects them, but you're not wearing one, so they avoid you like the plague. And when people do that, I look at them and I go, wait a minute, don't you have a mask on? Yeah. So why are you avoiding me? It doesn't make any sense. None.
Well, of course. It's not meant to make any sense.
Again, it's your leash. If you look around all of this, the COVID-19 vaccine is another training tool. But I would tend to tell you that it's more than that. The only thing is, what I really believe, I don't like to say on anybody's show, because I don't want to leave the show with everybody thinking Barry gets the craziest people on the planet on his show.
Well, people know nothing, that anyway, so go ahead.
Nothing I say is crazy. It's just your programmed ignorance. How can you filter it? What are you going to actually hear if I tell you there are already scientists out there saying, put the brakes on this this RNA vaccine. Stop it right now. And the reason is because it will promote infertility in females. It will. They've already postulated this. And now, hold on a minute. They want to give this to 7 billion people. Let me give you a flashback. There's 7.5 billion of us, and the Georgia Guidestones say, keep the total population of the Earth under 500 million in what?
Yeah. Balance with
nature. Yeah. Yes. In tune with nature. So they've got to get rid of 7 billion of us. Now, I'm not saying that this vaccine is going to do that. What I am saying is, one, they tell you need to get 2 shots, okay? So if the first one may be a set me up and the second one may be, okay, there's what I needed to complete the pattern and bang, now it starts to work. When I say sterilize you, how soon will we find that out? It may be a generation before we understand the infertility perpetrated by this vaccine. It may be a generation, 20 years in the future, we're saying, how come there's hardly any kids being born? Yeah. Stop and think about that. Now, is any of this bull? No. Google it. Stop the COVID-19 vaccines. They're going to cause female sterility. This is an absolute fact. But yet, there are already places that are saying, if you want to go to church on Sunday, you need to have a vaccine card. If you want to go into the grocery store, you need to have a vaccine card. If you want to get on a plane and go somewhere, you need to have a vaccine card. Wait a minute. Anybody here read 1984? I just got done telling you this damn virus, they can't even prove it exists at all. Yet they are reformulating the entire planet and giving us all, which may eventually end up by being a mandatory vaccine. No, excuse me, 2 mandatory vaccines. And we've already got scientists screaming that this is going to sterilize females. okay, tell me which piece of this panic button I just pushed I got wrong. Which piece?
Well, that's just the tip of the iceberg, Rob. Roger. It's just the tip. When we look at what they're trying to do with this, when they want to start talking about altering our DNA, I am not an expert. I know that you understand this way more than I do, but I've watched 4 or 5 doctors and real smart people talk about this, and they're coming forward in droves right now that this is beyond insanity. The way they're rushing this through, the amount of time, the studies that are being done, none of it exists. It's just being rammed down our throats. So we got to ask ourselves, why? Why are they in such a rush, folks? Because of nanotechnology, right, Roger?
The RNA vaccine. Stop thinking about this, okay? If I can, and again, it's not exactly, we're not, as laymans, allowed to know exactly how much effect this is going to have on your DNA. But it will have an effect on your DNA. It will. Okay, let me ask you a question. How many of you out there know what your DNA is and what it does? Well, let me explain something to you. You change my DNA, it might not do a whole lot for me because I'm already full grown. I'm already developed. Changes may cause me some minor issues, but if I go to have a baby with a woman, obviously I can't have one, or if she has had those vaccines, what we're talking about is the inability to get rid of what's happened to you. You're passing it on. Your DNA combines with your mate's DNA to give the blueprint for what's about to be born. And every single cell in their entire body is part of that or has a string of that DNA. It is you. If I change your DNA utilizing an RNA type vaccine, if I change your DNA, it may be 50 years before we realize what that change is going to do in humanity. The reason being is because not a lot of us got vaccines, or not a lot of us took specific, whether it was radio frequencies or whatever, weren't exposed to them as much. So our DNA isn't as affected. It really isn't. But all of a sudden, instead of isolated cases, now you've got 6 to 7 billion people having their DNA screwed with. Can I explain something to you? They gave up the need to do any animal testing. Let me explain to you why that was the biggest mistake that they and why it should absolutely make you fearful. If I give this type of a vaccine to a rat, how many generations is that rat going to have in 6 months? A lot. So you know through multiple generations what, if anything, that change in DNA. They did away with them. There were no animal tests. You are now, and I published an article on the Liberty Vegan about this today, you are now the guinea pig. When the next generation rolls around after 7 billion people get this damn vaccine, then we'll know how bad it is. And if you think I'm pissed for nothing, you're an idiot.
Hey, Roger.
Because this is the fact. This is what Barry wanted me to say.
Okay. And I appreciate that, buddy. And I know how much this drives you crazy. It drives us all crazy. It does. It does. It's beyond. It's honestly beyond anything I thought that I would see in my lifetime. But in the last couple of years, I've come to the realization that everything that you're talking about right now is a reality. You know, we've talked many, many times on shows, Roger, about nanotechnology and what they can do with that. Now, we've talked many times about the levels of toys they've got that are 15 years ahead of what we are allowed to know about today. We roll it all around in our brains. We add that to what's going on right now, and we see a huge psyop going on across this world that, unless you've gone down the rabbit holes in your life, it really is hard for people to even begin to understand what we're talking about, Roger. And that, I find, is one of the biggest problems I have, because we talk to people, but we lose them right away because they have never really in their life, outside of what listening to what maybe mainstream media is telling them every day, they really haven't explored a lot of this, and they get lost so easy when we start talking about this. They do.
You know when this all started? When all of this started. I mean, the plans to take over humanity, the whole nine yards, or enslave humanity. When do you think this all started?
Just to guess. 17th century with the Jesuits taking over the Catholic Church,
about
maybe?
The last part of the 1600s. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And from there, we have seen a steady progression. Now, most of you don't understand because, you know, history just is something most people ignore nowadays. The history of the United States is we probably know less. Generations in this country from, say, 30 years old down probably know less about our country than anybody in any country on the planet. That's literate, I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if you start to consider – look, the information that all of us are getting, the information that we're supposed to know, as Barry said, because I worked for the military-industrial complex, I'm going to tell you that the technologies they have today, right now, are 10 to 15 years ahead of what we have. And some of the stuff I used when I was working for them 20 years ago, I still haven't seen. Mm. I still haven't seen some of this stuff. Mm. So how I've been telling you this has been going on for about 350 years. And we're culminating at a point right now where, and they knew this was going to be a long-term process. They absolutely knew this. Hell, they started this with the Rothschilds. Again, that name comes up. Why do I say they started this with the Rothschilds? Because what did he do? He sent one son to Great Britain to make a deal with the king, okay, that, you know, we're going to supply you with money and we'll only charge you a certain, you know, a percentage, basically a Federal Reserve. And he sent another one down south to side up on both sides with a war that was about to start. Again, it was about centralizing control with who? With the money owners, with the elitist caste, with the Rothschilds, even back in the 1700s. And if you can remember, you know, Ansel's mother saying, if my sons didn't want war or poverty, there wouldn't be any. But there is. So now we flash forward. We say this has been going on for over 300 years. Why all of a sudden is it coming to a head? It's coming to a head right now because of technology. Technology works for them in such a fashion you can't even imagine. They can spring things across the planet instantly. They can coordinate with agents, so on and so forth, across the planet. It is – the technology is a massive boon for them, and it has allowed them to literally speed up their process, to speed up their program. But technology is a two-edged sword. What about the people like me who spent 30 years working for them? Are we stupid? Do we still remember what we were taught? How many thousands come out of the military with an absolutely phenomenal technical background? Do they suddenly forget everything? So the point here is the technology right now that's being used against us would have already smitten us if we didn't have almost as good a technology and there weren't a lot more of us. We can get the word out too. And we make our own communities. And those communities are predicated on the understanding that what I know, I must teach someone else. Why? That's the only way we're going to survive. If you look right now, Joe Biden is their ticket for this to continue happening. If Trump gets back in, there's going to be a resurgence in this country of patriotism beyond anything you have ever seen.
Well, I'm going to say this, Roger. I don't see a rat's hope in hell of Joe Biden becoming president. Based on what I have seen, heard in the last week, I've listened to all the hearings. I've listened to mountains and mountains and mountains of evidence, mountains. Yeah. And for this man to be inaugurated, I would not know what to say about that in my world. I just don't see that happening. So I'm going to go with that for now. I don't want to change subject here in the show at all, but I just want you to, I don't know if you've been following.
Oh, no, go ahead. Tell.
Please. It's something I really wanted to talk about quick before I got you off, because I know you follow a lot of things going on.
Yep.
But the earthquake activity we're seeing right now on the West Coast, yep, especially the reports I followed, but since there's three other people that I'm listening to, and they're all talking very, very sternly about the location of these earthquakes, the fact that they're sitting over one of the largest magma pools, that even though, like, you know, Yellowstone hasn't erupted in the last 600,000, they've had eruptions in those areas in the last couple million that would make Yellowstone, they tell us, look small. And we know what the capability of Yellowstone is. So we have a large amount of earthquakes happening over top of one of these massive magma chambers, and they're all talking about it right now. I've got them scratching their heads.
How close is that to the San Andreas Fault?
Well, they're very in close proximity. But a lot of people don't realize, Roger, the size of the magma pools that are sitting under the west coast of America.
I do.
Yeah, you know about it, but a lot of people don't know that. You know, we hear about Yellowstone all the time, but the fact is that we have magma chambers going all the way down to California that make Yellowstone look small. And they're just not talked about because, you know, blah, blah, blah. But now we're seeing all this unrest, especially in Nevada. Lots of big ones. Chile just hit a 6.1 here in the last hour. And they're just kind of, I've been watching all the guys talking about it. And they're all raising their voice in great alarm right now. So I don't know what to make of it all. Just your thoughts on that real quick. And then I'll get back to what we're talking about.
You've got two huge concerns. The first one, as Barry has said, is it's sitting over a large magma pool. If that thing triggers, we're talking about something that may open up a cauldron that is literally tens of miles across. We're talking about a super volcano. We're talking about something that can actually, in the northern hemisphere of the planet, can actually cause a lot of death, a lot of plants dying, can black out a lot of daylight, so on and so forth. That's the first thing. The second thing, which I think may be actually even more of an issue, is even with a minor eruption in that cauldron, it would be enough to trigger, because San Andreas Fault, they have been saying for the last 25 years, it's ready to go. You get something like an eruption on top of that magma pool, which is in very close proximity to that fault, and what you may end up with is a disaster that runs from southern Canada all the way down through the Isthmus of Mexico. And it will be the hardest hit right along the West Coast. I'm talking about massive landslides, tidal waves. I'm talking about earth movement that would easily rival anything you've ever seen.
We're not saying it's going to happen, Roger. No. Just something I follow very closely. I listen to what a lot of people are saying about this right now, and seismologists are scratching their heads, is all I'm saying. We've gone through a lot of this stuff. We've heard about Yellowstone, blah, 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 blah. But we are seeing some incredible things happen right now that are very abnormal. Not saying the end of the world is here, folks. I'm just trying to bring people's attention to it so you can have a look at yourself, and we'll just see what happens. Pretty interesting time.
In Earth's time, that may just be a day or two from now. Because in Earth's time, a day or two is about 200 to 300 years.
Yes, or it could be in 1 hour in Earth's time.
Yep.
We don't know. We look at all those faults that are on the verge of snapping. We look at all the reports over the hundreds of years on seismic movements, on stuff like the Cascadia and the Sinai Madre, and you know, the middle of the United States, the earthquakes they had in the beginning of the 18th century. You know, if those events started happening, you would see an earthquake swarm. You would see the earth go into an earthquake, major earthquake swarm. It's happened before. I'm not saying it's going to happen. It's just I'm watching these things, and I like to watch it. Kind of interesting. But that's not really what we need to worry about, because we don't have control over that, Roger. What we do have control over is what's happening in our world right now.
Let me wrap this up real quick.
Go ahead, buddy. Go ahead. You only got a couple minutes. Go ahead.
Yeah. I want to talk about the situation in America, because, you know, I don't have a big ego. I don't believe Americans are better than anybody else on the planet. But I do believe that due to the social and economic ties globally, where goes America, goes a big chunk of the planet. Okay. And what we're looking at right now is not an American revolution. What we're looking at right now is outside influence. These machines, they grab servers in Germany. These machines have been in Argentina. These machines have been in Cuba. These machines are made in Canada. I could go on and on and on. What we are looking at, again, is a concerted effort to control the politics on the other side of the COVID disaster. The only reason we're having a second wave and a second lockdown is because too many of us are getting too upset with what we see going on. What's the best way to neutralize us? Tell us if you don't lock yourself in your house, we're going to throw you in jail. Tell us if we don't have a mask on, we can't eat. Tell us if this is what we are seeing. COVID-19 is one of the lightest flu seasons we have had. Again, the difference of how many people died with COVID-19 and how many people died of COVID or from COVID-19 is a massive, massive number. They will never make the distinction.
Roger, I hate to cut you off, buddy, but you know what? This hour went too quick, and I know we could talk for another hour right now. So I'm going to promise to try and get you in again in a couple weeks and carry on this conversation. That becomes a, kind of a regular thing for us now, and always great having you in. You can find Roger. His site is called The Liberty Beacon. He has websites all around the world, folks. Go look him up, listen to what he has to say, and read his articles. Great wealth of information. Great having you in, Roger, and we look forward to the next time we get to chat with you.
Thank you very much. Always a pleasure, Barry.
Okay, sir. Thank you. And with that, guys, I am going to go take a bathroom break. I'll be back in a couple minutes with Pat King, who's been sitting here patiently in the room listening to Roger talk. I'll be back in about 3-4 minutes.
You are the only one who can give away your sovereignty. I don't care if everybody else on the entire planet says to me, you have no sovereignty. It's gone. It doesn't matter. I know I have it. I know it. I don't have to be told. I have it. Because I know I have it. Are you going to let the fear extinguish your spirit? Maybe you might think, oh, well, if I say X, Y, Z, they will kill me. Maybe. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. But maybe. Well, let me just give you a newsflash. We're all going to die, folks. As far as I can tell, we all die. We come here, we last a certain amount of time. We have a bit of fun. We feel the woes, the joys, the ups, the downs, the highs, the lows. Fear, the hate, the anguish, the love, the compassion. We go through all these things. Loss, gain, shame, embarrassment, elation, abuse, generosity, and then we die and we leave. We're no longer here, wherever the heck here may be. And while we're here, we decide, you decide, you choose. Your choices creates your life. How you feel about things and the decisions you make based on those feelings directly affects the entire universe. If you're in a bad mood, you're affecting the entire universe. If you're in fear, you're affecting the entire universe. If you feel peace, love, joy, generosity, compassion, you are affecting the entire universe. Why not let that be the effect you have? It is simple. We can do this. Stop fearing it. There's nothing to be afraid of. Do you want to succeed? Then act like it. Behave like it. Go and succeed.
listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com. Seeking solutions.
Welcome back, folks, second hour, and well, always a great talk with Roger Landry, and I'll get him back in here again right away. He's been kind enough to accommodate me for years having conversations, so we will definitely get him back right away. I'm joined here second hour by a gentleman named Pat King. It's the first time I've ever had Pat on my radio show. How do I describe Pat? I describe Pat as a bulldog Canadian patriot who isn't backing down, and really does have a lot of courage, because it takes a lot of courage to do what Pat's doing these days. Welcome to the show, Pat. Honored. Great to have you on, buddy.
Thanks for having me, Barry. Thanks to your listeners as well. Hope to get into some big discussions today, because that man left the bar pretty high. So he hats off to Roger. Holy cow.
Well,
Where do you want to get at this? How deep do you want to go down?
Well, there is the thing about the rabbit hole, Pat. I have found over the years, it doesn't matter what rabbit hole you go down, you'll find another rabbit hole going off that rabbit hole. And if you go down that one, you'll find a couple more. But the thing is, if you follow those rabbit holes to the end, you'll always come back to where you started. And people got to think about that, because everything we see going on in our world right now is a coordinated attack, Pat, against everything it means to be a human being. And, you know, we talk about COVID, we talk about what we see going on in Canada right now, we see what's going on around the planet. And like Roger said, we're at a pinnacle time right now in human history that, you know, either we win this thing or we're going to lose it. And losing it isn't an option to me. I know it's not an option to you. But I'd like to talk about what happened to you yesterday in Saskatchewan, give people a little heads up at how far and how tyrannical our government has become in Saskatchewan and Manitoba. Some of the examples. I'd like you to speak to that for a few minutes, if you would, Pat. Tell them what happened yesterday.
Well, it's Alberta is where I'm from. In Red Deer, Alberta, yesterday we had our rally. And our rally was the 100th week rally on the streets. So they've been out there for 100 weeks protesting. And with all the COVID stuff and everything, they've still been going. Everybody was there. Yesterday we went ahead and did a... kind of like, hey, welcome everybody, and then along with a group of other concerned citizens came in as well with their thoughts and their feelings on the whole situation. And so we decided to give a little bit of a pep talk, and as soon as we did the pep talk, the RCMP started to film us, and they filmed us and they were watching who was giving speeches and this and that. And when they did, right away they started filming. They started filming who was talking. They were getting people's license plates. They were stopping everybody on the side of the streets. They were pulling people over left and right, just citizens that were honking horns. They were pulling them over. People that revved their engines to kind of give you a cheer on, they pulled them over.
Wow.
So after the speeches, after the march, after everybody's thing, we waited to leave. So we started to leave. We were all going to go meet up at a coffee shop. We go to leave. And all of a sudden, I'm pulled over by three police officers. Three paddy wagons. My bad. That's what I meant to say. Three paddy wagons. And then about 8 to 12 police officers surrounded me. They pulled me over because I didn't have my registration done, and I knew that. And that was okay. But at the same time, the health officer came up behind the police officer and fined me $1,200 for not social distancing. And he hid behind the police officer, came out from behind his back, and was like, and I'm the public health officer, and we're going to give you a ticket for $1,200 for not social distancing. And I said, oh, really? Where were you? You weren't even there. I was there. I was taking pictures, he said. So they were taking pictures of me the whole day, and they basically singled me out when we left and made a big scene. And basically what they're going to do is they're going to butter it up in the media probably, and then they're going to say radical white nationalist is pulled over and fined $1,200. I don't know where the media was, but I'm sure there was a media person somewhere hiding behind a corner.
Yeah, they're nowhere to be seen. I was talking about Saskatchewan there, Pat, just because of what happened there yesterday, and I know you followed that. I know you're in Alberta, so didn't mean to reference you as being in Saskatchewan, but what happened there yesterday with the same agenda that we'd be seeing all across the country now, the prairies, Manitoba. It's like you're living in a communist country in Manitoba right now.
Manitoba's got to be scary. That's got to be scary for them. I don't know what's going on there, Pat.
It's just unbelievable. How can they wake up and look out the door? How can people take this? I mean, we really got to draw a line in the sand here, Pat. It's just gone completely rogue, and they are not going to stop right now. This is just absolute insanity. Absolute insanity.
The amount, the rate of more police interaction increasing by tenfold. The amount of police getting involved with this is, they're ramping up for something. Getting like they're just testing the waters now to see who's going to fight, who's going to do what. I really do feel, honest to God, that coming after the end of after Christmas, we're not going to see the world that we have seen over the last, well, my 40 years of being alive. I really think that they're about to do a 180 on the civilization of the world. I really do, because this is not our police. Our police are very communicating. They work with communities. They worked with us for all these years. We've been out on the streets. They know us all by name. We apologize. We thank them. We gratefully thank them. We've even brought them coffee. We've brought them donuts, not to be rude or anything, but being polite. And I've worked with them, taking a convoy across the country. We worked with the OPP and the RCMP and the Ottawa Police Departments. We worked with all of them. And, you know, we've always been polite and good, and we've respected their jobs. But now what you're seeing, they're not holding up their oath. They're not holding up their oath to protect the citizens.
You're spot on with that, Pat. We've seen a change in the way policing is being done in this country.
I think that this comes down from the top, Barry. I know this comes down from the top. They're getting their orders from the top, and they're just going to start to slowly call the people. See, now, the way they pulled me over yesterday is they waited till I was on one of the most busiest streets in Red Deer. And I swear, it felt like the busiest time. So many people drove by to see what was happening. And now they're going to promote it in the media and say that, well, you know, I'm their favorite target. And they're going to say I got pulled over because of getting a ticket for $1,200 fine for no social distancing.
Wow.
Yeah, that actually, that should be a media picture. Right in tomorrow's news, this big, elaborate show that they did so that they can fearmonger the public driving by and keep them more lulled, more called. This is bullshit. Pardon my language. I apologize.
Okay. No, well, the fangs of fears are wide and deep. And how do you use fear in society, Pat? You know, it's something I have talked about many times on our shows. It's something that people have to understand, that their biggest weapon, period, is fear. And let's just reflect on what Trudeau said when this pandemic was announced to the Canadian people. He came out on the mic and said, folks, this is a disaster. It's going to kill 50,000 to 350,000 people minimum. That was his first statement to the Canadian people. Well, what did that do to Canadian people, Pat? They all ran into their houses. They all went hiding under their couches. We have to get rid of that paradigm, that fear. We have nothing to fear here, folks, nothing. We only have fear itself to fear. And what we see going on in our society now, Pat, with these examples of absolutely draconian measures, well, this isn't going to go away, folks. This is only going to get ramped up. We have to draw a line in the sand right now. And like I said, kudos to what you did yesterday. The Rebel Media, Pat, will take that to court for you.
We finally got our very first trophy.
Well, I'm going to try and get one this week, okay? Yeah. I'm openly defying stores here in Terrace.
Well, I really do believe that people need to. You want to get it back at this. You flood it. You know, flood the system. So we all go in with all these tickets, and we all stand in the court, and we all stand there waiting for the judge to come out to kind of tell us what he's going to do to all of us.
Yeah, people
lock everybody up.
Well, people are complaining. people are complaining all the time about the CBC and Canada Pact. You know what you need to do? Give them a call and blast them, because they really don't like to hear that. And maybe that sounds insequential, or it doesn't sound like it'll be affected. But I'll tell you, if a whole pile of us start plugging their airlines and their phones and let them know what Canadians think, I don't think it's going to go anywhere, but it definitely will get some hot air off your chest, because they are the biggest enemy of the people in Canada right now, bar none.
The biggest part of this, and I really want to say this, is, ladies and gentlemen, it's not a hard math equation. Take the population of your province, take your death rates from last year and this year, and see that there's barely a fluctuation, maybe 100 people more. And then do the math of what they're saying the number is as a COVID death, and divide that and multiply it by 100. That'll give you your percentage, and you're going to blow your mind. People have forgot basic math. That's insane. Basic math on the numbers of this is not – compare your number to the number of last year, and there's no huge spike. It's all smoke and mirrors, and the smoke and mirrors I want to get into on it is I got something here, which is actually really wild. Cycle – so when they test your blood, all right, they test your – whatever they're testing, a cycle count of 10 will give you 100% negative results. So if you spin it 10 times, right, cycle count of 10 – and it does its magic in the science lab. I'm not a science whiz, but when you do that, you get 100% positive results if you only spin it 10 times. In Canada, they're testing in the range of 35 to 48 cycle counts. And they can control the active case data at will, depending on what they decide to set it at. They also can't not see COVID-19. All they see is evidence of immune system activity, which also includes antibodies. So yes, people have built up antibodies are classified as active cases. So if you and I have had a cold, right, last year, a couple weeks ago, whatever, we have that in our bodies, because that's what the common cold is a coronavirus.
Yep.
So if you already have that, you're going to test positive.
You never hear that on CBC, do you?
The data produced from these tests right away are all fake, every one of them. The one and only test that's accurate and should be followed is the total overall death counts. So that's why you have to do the math and add the death counts. That's the only way you're going to know. And if you're following the death rates and the morbidity rates in your province, let alone in your country, you're going to see that this is the most ridiculous thing in the world. And for people to even be calling us, and I'm sorry, I get a little excited. Roger set the bar up, but man, am I mad. Like, this is, you can't fight this. Math is the absolute, right? Math is the answer of the universe. Come on.
Yeah, it's scary, isn't it, Pat? It really is scary what we're up against now. It's like, have I woken up in a strange new world? I mean, we're supposed to be intelligent people. We are. We're supposed to be able to think things out. We're supposed to be able to look at both sides of the story, but people refuse to look at stats. I've gone, Pat, and looked at the graphs for Canada for diseases for the last 8-9 years, and I've looked at multiple graphs, and every one of them show me the exact same thing, that nothing has changed. The only thing that's changed is the narrative. It shows you the power of mind controlling people, the power of our media. It's just absolutely out of hand. These people really need to be taken out and held to account for crimes against humanity. The one thing I'll let you get back at, but the one thing that drives me crazy the most, Pat, is what they're doing to our children right now. Putting a mask on a child is the worst thing that you can possibly do, folks, to a young person, period. And I defy anybody to prove me wrong in that statement. I went and looked at all kinds of studies on the effects of masks on small children this week, Pat. Why can't people go look at this? Why can't they take an hour when it's your child involved? And there's any kind of controversy, go look it up yourself, and it'll blow your mind. Go ahead, bud. I'm as peeved as you are, Pat. Believe me.
Yeah, do the math yourself. Understand what you're watching and seeing.
Look at the numbers.
You can't. Numbers don't lie. But look, and Kevin Peters used to say it the best, is science doesn't lie, but scientists do. If you're paid enough for your research program, scientists can manipulate any study they want. If, you know, you pay them enough, they'll manipulate these studies. Yeah. But, you know, this comes down a lot bigger. So last about a year and a half ago, I flew to a place called Montreux, Switzerland. And in Montreux, Switzerland, I was able to see what's a Bilderberg conference and all the elites that go to these. And I'll guarantee you, like Roger said, when I was in Switzerland, I seen these people. I saw Michael Pompeo, the former the former CIA director who's now Secretary of State, at a Bilderberg conference. I saw Jared Kushner at a Bilderberg conference. And this was not very long ago. This was right before all this gnarly, insane lockdown started. And I believe that while they were there, they all planned this. This has all been a plan. The Bilderbergs have been planning this for 100 years. Yep. This comes down to a giant game, like Roger was saying, to tell you exactly, because on there was their topics out of Bilderberg was the weaponization of social media. So they've now turned social media into a weapon, and you see it. You see the doxing. You see the shadow banning. You see only geared interviews. Only how many times you don't see a Trump ad or you don't see a Biden. You see more Biden than you've seen Trump. You know, you've seen the manipulation of the media and their lies and their headlines and everything. So they've really stepped up their game and got this stuff off the ground even quicker. I saw media moguls there. I saw Lord Adonis, who was one of the gentlemen from Brexit. We had Louise Albour from Canada. She was the UN Migrant Compact Minister. Then we saw Dominic Barton, who was McKinley Inc., the new SNC-Lavalin Corporation and one of the Laurentian elites, and then Michael Sabia, who was the former CEO of the Quebec Pension Plan. And they were paying off, or whatever they do at these secret banking conferences. There was some shady stuff. Ooh, I almost let it slip. Jason Kenney. So now you see this, and this is how it goes. Jason Kenney was there the year before, our premier.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Nothing to see there, Pat.
Yeah, nothing to see. Close your eyes, right? And now you're seeing Kenny flip-flopping here. Oh, and he's saying, I'm not wearing my not letting my province wear a mask. It's against their constitutional rights. Oh, no, wait. Now he's got to go back to that and say, oh, you got to wear your mask. It's your constitutional right. Yeah. And he's more slimier than a dirty set of underwear. It's not real.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely ridiculous to listen to him talk.
But I do feel this comes down from that. I do feel that the marching orders came down from that.
From where?
From that conference that I was there at.
Absolutely.
Because it was the weaponization. Oh, sorry. I meant to keep elaborating. It was the weaponization of social media. It was also China was a topic. Yeah. Israel was a topic, as well as the UN and a couple other ones. But you've seen Israel. Trump went ahead and bombed al-Baghdadi or whatever that guy's name was.
Yeah.
And then you went to China with the Wuhan, which a lot of people don't really remember this, is the virus was actually smuggled out of Winnipeg, Manitoba.
I know that.
So maybe that can understand why Manitoba's under total lockdown.
Oh, you're a conspiracy nut.
Thank you. This is true. These
came I know it's true. But say that to somebody. They'll go, what are you talking about? Put your tinfoil hat on. But no, here's one for you, Pat. Look at the numbers of COVID. Go ahead.
There was a Chinese woman that worked at the dangerous biohazard place in Winnipeg. I can't remember the name of the facility. She was flying back and forth to China from there. She also, not only that, she was found to work for the Chinese army. And then all of a sudden you get Wuhan. Now, before all of these started, remember what the world was at before this COVID lockdown. The world, guess where it was at? It was in a riot. Across the globe, Hong Kong, Germany, everybody was out on the streets and they were protesting. And then all of a sudden COVID come in, no more protests. Well, now people are buying the COVID. So what are you seeing? The protesters are coming back and they're even more mad. And that's what's happening. And this is all because they know we know. And we know that they know that we know.
Yeah. Well, hey, the more we push, the harder they're going to push back. And right now, they're not going to let go until we stand up against them. Pat, it's at that point right now. They're going to continue to push this agenda down our throats. It's a good thing that I have actually, Pat, in the last couple of weeks, seen a mass awakening of people. Just an example, I think I shared this with you yesterday. It's real simple. I shared a video of COVID-19 in my community here, Pat, and I sent it to a couple people, and they all of a sudden watched it, and they sent it to three or four people, and they watched it, and I looked at the chain of links and shares on that one post I made. I went to people that shared it, people that have shared it, and I see them sharing it all over the place. Well, we need to educate the public because they're not going to get the education that they need to assess this COVID-19 vaccine through the media in any shape or form. It is the worst thing that they've ever proposed. And now they're talking about rolling out the military checkpoints. And you know, they're not saying that yet, but this is just a setup. And I agree with what you said, Pat, and I don't want to sound like a fearmonger, but I believe there's going to be a radical change coming in our society in the very near future. And out of that will come chaos like society has never experienced before. And out of that chaos, they're going to try and gain control. Go ahead.
The other part to this is not only that. Now, why would they not want you guys to be... Why don't they want lots of people in their homes? Why do they not want people to be there to talk and converse and have family gatherings and have conversations? Because they're afraid everybody's going to get together and say, hey, wait, you know what? I've kind of this thought that something's not right. How do you guys feel about it? And then you get the conversations going and everybody's, you know, wondering what's going on. But I really feel that people over this next month, you got to really seriously sit down with your families and discuss which side of the line you're on this. There's a poll running out right now that will really, really open your eyes to how many people don't want a vaccine.
Yeah, I saw it. Go ahead.
And unfortunately, when you see this, they're isolating you because, one, and you think about it, military acts in pockets when they come in. So there'll be a platoon of 9 guys, maybe 12 guys. So they can handle 4 to 5 people in a household. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. I just look at this, that there's something coming down that we're not, people in this world are not prepared for. And you're going to have to draw a line, like you said, in the sand and figure which side you're on. And I don't blame anybody for whatever decision you make. I really don't. I know people, it's got to be survival of the fittest, and it's going to be, so some people don't know what they're going to do, but yeah. I really feel that this is going to get, it's going to get bad. It's going to get really bad.
Yeah.
starting to ticket people. People are being stopped from flying with, there's a gentleman, Ryan, he couldn't fly to Toronto. I was able to fly to Toronto, and the amount of people that are waking up in Toronto, I was at Adam Skelly's place where he kicked the doors open, said, no, you guys are coming in and we're letting everybody eat. People are rising up, and these numbers don't, ladies and gentlemen, do the math. I don't care what you're, look at last year's death rates and this year's death rate, do the math. I'm serious. Don't focus on the number per day, because that's all of a psyops. They're just trying to butter your head with all of the numbers and make you all COVID. That's a type of psyops. It's fear mongering. It's torture. It's actually torture, because now you have people running around just panic mode. And I've never seen anything like it in my life.
Neither have I did. Pat, I mean, look at the every day in Ontario now, they're reporting record numbers. And British Columbia, same thing. Record numbers. People are just going crazy. They're back to where they were when this first came out. They're walking around and avoiding people. People are putting on masks. They're just in a state of terror. These people really got to get called out, Pat. How do you do that?
This is how I'm saying for people to do this for yourself. Just by doing that small equation and looking at last year's tests and looking at this year or deaths and this year's deaths, look at those numbers. Okay, don't focus on the numbers they're telling you. Just go off annual deaths. And you'll find that the data should be used to reevaluate all of Canada's national state of emergency. This isn't a pandemic. These numbers show there is no pandemic. This is the fire, and this is what we should focus on, as it's, we should focus on that based on the actual data, not predicted data from their scientists. If you look at the numbers from today to from this date today to last year, and look at the rate of deaths, it's always going to fluctuate, and it's going to up and down. It hasn't gone up. And the that's the key. We're at a year of this now.
Yeah.
The numbers never went up.
Yep. No, I agree, Pat. All you got to do is go do research, really. 2 hours on the internet, and you dispel everything the government's saying, because you're looking at actual numbers. Not what they're telling us, but actual numbers. So, of course, that brings up the million-dollar question. What's going on, folks?
You don't have a cure for AIDS. You don't have a cure for cancer. You don't have a cure for leukemia. You don't have a cure for DPIG, which has been, all these have been around for over 100 years. Yeah. You don't have a cure you can't even cure, what do you call it, shingles. When you get shingles, that was from a vaccine. So if you got the chickenpox vaccine and you got the chickenpox and you got shingles now as you're an older person, that's what's happening. After all these years of this vaccine, people develop shingles because they had that. Well, ladies and gentlemen, what do you think you're going to grow after you do a vaccine that they haven't even been able to do for all these years for the other drugs and the other vaccines? It's taken over 40 years to make those vaccines, make them so that they're that you can use them on your body. But now we're already seeing the next generation of citizens developing shingles from it. And more susceptible to shingles because of it. And we've all got that. Now, what do you think they're going to do? That was tested for 100 years, those vaccines. And now you have the vaccine that they're thinking they're going to pump out, that doctors are saying has aluminum nanoparts in them. And they're going to put that in your body without 100 years of testing, without 40 years of testing, without even a year of testing. And you're going to put that in your body, and I guarantee you, you grow a third nut. I guarantee you. Third nut or a freaking, you grow an extra finger, who knows? What it does is it bonds to the immunoblockers, as these scientists that are telling us now. Mm-hmm. It bonds to the immunoblockers. Why do you want to bond this to the immunoblocker when that immunoblocker is for blocking your immune system, it's for blocking your colds and shit?
Right.
But here you got these guys going to say this is going to do this. It's going to bond with those, and then it's going to be so small that it enters your brain, and that's where it sits.
Yep. It's insanity. Go ahead.
And there's no effing way that my family, my children, will be putting anything like that in their bodies. And that's not even a conversation that I need to have. That's just happening.
Well, we shouldn't even be having this conversation.
There's a lot of people who have that mask on, and they're going to say, I need the vaccine. But you need to really, really, really do your math and do your thinking and know this is danger. Danger, Will Robinson. Danger.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I think we're going to be able to get this information out to the public based on what I've seen just here in the last couple of days. That people are going to start talking about it, that the voices of all these doctors around the world that are being silenced will eventually be heard. And there's literally thousands of doctors now around the world, folks, that are speaking against this, the insanity of it. Eventually this information will get out, I hope, Pat, because if we allow this to go on, then we have lost the battle. Simple as that.
Yeah.
That there will be no turning back, that what is in this vaccine has never been put in a human body before. There's no animal testing being done. There's no long peer-reviewed study, period. We're just supposed to accept the vaccine from a gentleman named Bill Gates, who, if you look into him, folks, you'll find out he is one of the evilest men to ever walk the planet Earth. We're supposed to accept the vaccine from him via the Chinese Communist Party. He's not even a doctor, but via the Chinese Communist Party, and we've got to make people aware of their involvement here, Pat, and how they are mandating through the World Health Organization the measures that we're taking against it. This so-called pandemic doesn't even get close to the description of a pandemic, but boy, is that ever a great word to use, eh, Pat? Panic? Pandemic?
That's that scary word, right? It's like saying the boogeyman.
I mean, they use it on purpose, of course, but, you know, I said in the first hour, I said with Roger that this doesn't even come close to the description of an actual pandemic in society. It doesn't even come close. But they use the word because it strikes fear.
Do the numbers, and then you will be puzzled. When you get your number two, think about, okay, that's not including murders, that's not including suicides, overdoses, natural causes, heart attacks, cancer, that's all the other things that people, but yet 40,000 children can go missing so far this year, and they ain't focusing on that. You know, that 40,000 children already in the year 2020 have gone missing. Agency and numbers, all of a sudden you forgot about the missing kids.
Is that an 8-pack? That's in Canada, right?
Yeah.
That was just actually, you know what, buddy, I haven't actually looked into that myself, but it was brought to my attention. Somebody mentioned that to the other day, and I meant to really look into that.
That's more than COVID deaths alone.
Well,
that's more than the COVID deaths alone. Come on. Really?
Well, there's been one child under the age, one person under the age of 20, folks, in Canada die from this pandemic since its onslaught. And what are we doing to society? What are we doing to our kids? I mean, my God, Pat, that is the part that drives me insane, the trauma, what we're doing to our children right now. Buddy, I listened to three worlds. I don't have their names in front of me. I'll get the links and send them to you. But three world-renowned experts on the effect that this is having, psychologists that have got degrees up my arm, down your arm, are recognized around the world to be authorities in what they're talking about. And what they said to me in those videos, I can't repeat it all to you, but this is beyond insanity. I urge people, I urge you to go look at the effects this is having on our children. The most vulnerable members in our society are who they are targeting, and the long-term effects that they are implementing in our children right now, folks, are going to take decades to correct. And that's not me saying this. This is people that really understand what's going on. This is insanity, folks. Insanity. Where are the parents?
Yeah.
Where are you?
Well, here's another one. And here's another kicker that'll make you. When you start looking at how we were not only a year ago before this went into place, a lot of people have forgot all about protesting. That Hong Kong was protesting in Germany. We don't see anything that's going on over in Europe. If you notice that, you don't get to see very much. Little things slip out every once in a while. And it's not just here in Canada, folks. This isn't a little thing. The whole world is on fire over this. Yeah. Catherine McKenna was drunken in the bar. And ladies and gentlemen, for you who don't know, she was a member of parliament here in our federal government. Catherine McKenna stated that if you yell it loud enough and you scream it loud enough, people will just start listening. So that's why they're doing what they're doing with COVID. That's why they're doing what they're doing with shutting us down and not getting the truth out, is because they need to push a certain narrative to file right into this Great Reset. And the Great Reset is not a joke. This is the redistribution of wealth that flows in with this. That's why you hear Chrystia Freeland telling everybody, she's taking your savings. She's taking your money. They put this into place months ago.
Yep.
This was months ago, before COVID. We were trying to scream and tell people that now they had the access to come in at your bank accounts. Now they're trying to use COVID to come in and steal your savings, because she had the balls to say, I'm going to take your savings money because you've been having opportunity to save your money throughout all this COVID. So now we're going to take it. Are you insane? You tell me I can't have how many people in my house? You tell me I own this house and I can't have how many people in it? Now you're telling me you're coming from my bank account? Yeah. These people better start hitting the streets.
Yeah, I appreciate you holding back.
Hang on, Patrick. Hang on.
Because I know right now that what I see, it absolutely infuriates me. I know that I have to keep myself calm because reaction. I know that I feel your passion, buddy. It is beyond insanity. No, you didn't. No, I just appreciate you holding them back. I really do, because I know that you are blowing up just like everybody else, that we all feel this incredible insanity in our brains of why people can't see this. What are we going to have to do to wake the people up to the most dangerous thing that I've ever seen in my lifetime. It is so in our face, and we're still dealing with these cognitive people walking around with masks. I really don't have the answer to that, my friend. It's the one thing that scares me the most.
Seriously. Well, for the longest time that I've been doing this, and it's been a lot of years, and now just finally coming up from behind the curtain in the last recent couple of years. Before it was not too bad. I could tell it to people. This time we were able to soft pill people, just kind of ease right into it. And as you eased into you know, what all was going on, all of a sudden the government's just bombarded us. Just bam, they just started hitting us with left and right, and oil and gas shutting down, and yep, economy's yep. down, and now the BC lumber's down. Now, you know, everything just went like dominoes. And then yes. they hit you with the lockdowns. And the lockdowns, you're like, okay, at first the lockdowns are like, oh, this is how they're going to do it. We thought it was going to be a dirty bomb, or it was going to be biological. Okay, so here's the biological. All right, we'll hunker down. Ammunition sales went through the roof at the beginning. And now you're seeing it now coming in with the second one. And people were like, huh, thanks for making me stock up, but I don't believe you anymore. So people aren't listening to this. The best part of it is how small businesses, they're allowing themselves to stay closed, yet they have the ability and capability to put in all their government policies and guidelines, do everything the government says, put it in place, and unlock your doors and allow people to come in. Mm-hmm. But try it.
Yeah.
Try it. Well, small businesses try it, and they get closed, shut down, boarded up. Try it. I dare every small business owner out there to go put all their guidelines and policies in place, and then open your doors. They're not going to let you.
Yeah.
Watch. You watch.
You can walk down the street, though. And
sandbox at the moment.
Yep. No, it's the hypocrisy drives me nuts. It really does. You know, what they did to Adam in Toronto was an example. That wasn't about any rules. That was out there to show you the power of us and what we're going to do to you if you step out of line. Be good little citizens and obey. And that was all about. But boy, did that spark a reaction to a lot of Canadians. They're shooting themselves in the foot right now, Pat. They really are, because Canadians are starting to get peeved.
I was there last week. We were supposed to do your radio show last week, remember? And all of a sudden I popped up in Toronto.
Yeah. Well, hey, if I could have flown with you, I would have been there too, buddy, because, you know, we really got to understand that we're supporting each other right now, folks. If you turn your back on what's going on to Adam, well, they're just going to come after you, but it won't be until maybe a month or 2 months down the road. But they are going to come for you. So if you don't stand with people that are standing against these people right now, then you're part of the problem. But I think people really need to look in the mirror and say, look, you know, what is the most important things in our lives right now, period. And to me, I have to say that the future of my country, the freedoms that the perceived freedoms, will say that I've got to enjoy in my lifetime or what I want for my children going forward. And I can't look in the mirror right now, Pat, and say that we're going to have that, looking at what's going on. And that drives me insane that, you know, our kids are going to pay the price, guys. And, you know, this might sound corny, Pat, but you know what? I say to people, if you don't get off your butts and stand up against this right now, that one day, and I've said this before, and I honestly believe it, Pat, that your kids are going to come and they're going to urinate on your grave. Because we know it's there. All you have to do is look. People that don't, Pat, I don't know what to say at this point, my friend. I really don't know what to say. Go ahead.
My biggest thing that I've been trying to... I tried to be polite. I've used every mannerism that was given to me as a... You know, when I was being raised in a really good Canadian moral, Canadian ethics, Canadian citizen way. And I'm losing that because I'm seeing it not only for myself, I'm seeing the way it's crumbling in front of my eyes as we speak, and I'm trying to scream it at people. But it's not only is that part difficult and getting me angry and aggressive, but also the part where the people that don't want to listen to what's going on is crazy. You got a really squeaky chair or what?
yeah.
There's something squeaking really good.
Sorry, what is that? That probably me touching my table, maybe? Yeah, that's what it was. If I touch the leg on my table, it squeaks, so excuse me.
Gotcha. Well, you know, it's It's just, and then, oh yeah, and then you work with the police, and you got the police, and you're working with them, and you're polite, and you're doing everything you can to help things go along, and then what they do is what they're doing, and you're not seeing it just with myself. We wanted to make an example of it, and an example was made yesterday. There are people in Vancouver, same thing, Winnipeg. There's people all over that are getting tickets. Steinbach, Manitoba, getting tickets for having church services in your vehicles. You can't even have church services. The day they take God out of the Constitution is the day I don't believe that anybody deserves to go to church or whatever, right? But God's still in it. And God supersedes anybody. And I don't care who you are. It goes God, your creator or whoever, the people, and then the government. And that's how it works. Nobody is over and above God. So if they're putting all the guidelines and stipulations in place, and you're locking them down and shutting them down and telling them that they can't have church service now, people are in the wrong because they did everything. Now you got businesses. Wrong. They've got everything in place. Now people are standing on the street and we're fashioning it, we're talking and we're speaking and we're giving pamphlets out and everything. And then you shut us down on the streets by giving us $1,200 tickets. Wrong. Mm. Wrong. Look at it, ladies and gentlemen. It's like domino. It's happening.
Yeah, well, Rebel Media, folks, if you're in Canada and you get a ticket, Rebel Media will defend you in a court of law. And these tickets are going to get thrown out.
Get hold of them right away. But it's not even the fact that the worst thing that these police officers did is they're getting us into courts now. This is where this battle really needs to be.
Yep, I agree.
This is where we need to get into the court system. And we need to open up the books on the government through the courts. And if it takes a $1,200 fine to take them down, then it's going to take a $1,200 fine to take them down.
Well, you know, Pat, even though we know the court systems are corrupt, it's the only mechanism we have left right now in Canada to stand up against what's going on. They can be held accountable in the courts of law if we bring our laws forward properly. So
here's the key part now. Here's the best part. Is now that we've tried to prove it on this side, now we're going to try and prove it in the court systems. And either way, whatever result it is, you're going to see the truth. Think about that. That's a little deep. Whether found guilty or found innocent, either way, it's a double-edged sword because we know the Constitution, constitutional rights. We know that the government is de facto. We know what's happening. So let's see them play out their system, and I hope I can record the whole thing while I'm doing it.
Yeah, well, we need to expose it, Pat. We need to get the education out to the Canadian people that are just still in the dark about so many things that are going on around them. Well, you know, I look at the amount of censorship.
The Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms is going to pull out this so-called paperwork where it says that I'm a Canadian citizen and I don't have to abide by these because, as you read from the front page of your passport, it states right there, the Minister of Foreign Affairs of Canada requests in the name of Her Majesty the Queen, all those whom it may concern, to allow the bearer to pass freely without delay or hindrance and to afford the bearer such assistance and protection as may be necessary. And then you didn't do that. You didn't protect me. Open up a huge door. Where's the companies? Hey, here. If we're in such a pandemic and emergency situation, where's all their women's training and biohazard waste bins for all of these?
It should be one on every corner.
We could take the court under health violations just on that. We could take the government to court on the mismanagement of COVID-19 because they didn't have receptacles, biohazards, waiting to take these contaminated articles.
Well, what about we sue them for their inability to explain people how, if they have to wear a mask, how to use it properly. There's a fact that you never use a mask twice or three times. That bacteria grows in that mask. You're taking it back into your lungs. They don't explain that to people in any shape or form. Should be held accountable in a court of law.
We have to follow mask cleaning, and I'm occupational health and safety. I know this. There's a NIOSH protocol that you have to use to disinfect all of your masks, whether it be supplied air masks, self-contained breathing masks, air filters, filtrations. You have to NIOSH those in a certain way to get rid of all the bacteria. I bet you not one person knows what the NIOSH system is when it comes to masks. But you don't ask those questions because you don't know.
Right. We're not given that information. We're not allowed to know that, Pat. That would be detrimental to the agenda, buddy. Come on.
Exactly. Come on,
get with the program. Get with the program.
Yeah, if you knew that protocol, you would get that. You would know. And then you would be doing that with these. But they don't give a crap.
Yeah.
They don't give a crap because they just want to play what they need to play for now. There should be a mass collection of biohazard waste going to an incinerator that burns at a certain temperature that will disintegrate all of this. But no, these are going in your daily garbage out into the garbage dump.
Where yeah, you can good place for it. It's you know what?
If and then your seagulls are going to eat it, and your seagulls are going to eat it, and your crows, and they're going to fly away. Then they're going to poop all over the world.
We'll have an outbreak of COVID and crows poop. So please avoid it at all costs. If you see a crow, and he hasn't got a mask on, report him right away.
Avian COVID. No, that's what it'll be. But that's what I'm saying, right? Like, this is how stupid this is. People don't realize, like, you just talk about it, you sit there, and you think about it. There's got to be people who sit there all of a sudden. You know when you get that moment? And you go into a daze, and you're just kind of daydreaming. And people are like, hey, what's going on? Are you still here? Those people right now that sit there and just go off in that haze, start to daydream, and then realize, oh, my God, this is all a lie. And then they kind of snap back. And, Wait, no, I was just dreaming.
Yeah. No, when that thought comes into their mind, it absolutely raises a level of terror that they cannot deal with to believe that everything they believed is nothing but a lie. That it is far, far easier to fool people, Pat, than it is to convince them that they are being fooled. And never was a truer statement made.
You said it earlier, you know, common sense. Well, common sense isn't common anymore.
No, it's been taken out of society, and it's been done, like we said many times, Pat, over many, many years to get society to such a state, and we could talk for hours about what they've used to get to the human mind and the human heart and the human soul. It would be a conversation for hours to explain to people all the different changes that have been made in our society with the vaccines ramp up, with our food, with everything they're doing to our bodies. To explain to people why we are in such a state of disarray, why we cannot think properly and rationally anymore in our lives, because I just don't see that in society. But like I said, that'd be a conversation for another day and a very deep rabbit hole to go down, Pat.
Well,
but it's
I can tell you right now how that started for me, my own personal experience, and I'll give you the Reader's Digest version of it.
Go ahead.
I remember being in school in grade 10 in English and having my English teacher telling me that I had to do a book report on a William Shakespeare play, and it was your own opinion. Give us your opinion. What the author was trying to tell in the story. And I worked really hard on that. I worked really hard, and I really looked into it, and I got the Cole's notes, and I got everything to decipher. I looked at how I did it, but at the end of it, in my closing statement in my essay, I gave my opinion on who I am, what I thought that the author was saying. So the three stages of the writing an essay were all good until the fourth closing statement. And I got that brought my mark down from a B+ down to a C-. And I said, well, why did I get this part right here wrong? And I got down to a C- because of it. Well, that's wrong. That's not what the author was trying to say. I said, no, I know. But that was my opinion of what the author. Well, no, this isn't about your opinion. Your opinion's wrong on this. And I'm like, but you asked for my opinion. And I gave you my opinion. But now you're telling me my opinion's wrong. Who are you to tell me my opinion's wrong? So then I went down, and I just always question everything. And when you start looking at this stuff, it becomes, it's almost like you don't see the world like everybody else does. You see the world for everything that is wrong and what they're doing, because so much has been so distrusted Yeah. It's been so devastated from government systems to judicial systems to family court systems to, you know, businessmen trying to get a leg up in the world to try and, you know, be more successful, down to average people who do contracts in trades and they try to bid on a job and they're outbidding their buddy and their buddy's like, well, man, I didn't get that bid, but I heard you got it. You underbid your buddy, you know, the deceit in all the world and all the lies that go on in this world. And you're not allowed to have an opinion on that. And you're not allowed to be able to say what you feel about that. And a perfect example is, don't go into a store with a mask on and watch how people look at you. Mm. They treat you with racism because you don't want to wear a mask. It's plain and simple. Now look at what they're doing. They've got us against each other now.
Of course.
And it's all by design.
Absolutely.
You read
Rules for Radical, Pat, by Sal Zelinsky. Read that book. And it's paragraph to paragraph, sentence for sentence, what you just described in society. And these people are following that book to the T. When I also mentioned people they got to read is the Communist Manifesto, because it really makes you understand what's going on right now and how it's being played out. We are in a world of hurt, and it's going to take a mass awakening by the people to stop this. I believe that's still possible because I am starting to see it now. I think it's the most important time in our history that we put our foot to the floor. Anybody listening to this show, Pat, I say that to them too, that this is a real, real important time, probably the most important time in your life. And the end result of them winning, this is something I would wish on my worst enemy. We're down to about 5 minutes here, Pat. So I'm going to let you talk for a few more minutes. Let people know where you can, where they can find you, and share some of your thoughts before we have to go out of here. But we got about 5 minutes, so go ahead.
Absolutely. The one thing I really, I'm not trying to put a lot of fear in the people, and the one thing I really truly want to get across to your viewing audience and as well as the people at home, we started these out to be a hobby. We didn't ever want to be right on all of this stuff. It was more of a little game of to see who can find the dirtiest thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we don't want to be right. We want people to disprove what we're talking about. So I put an open invitation to anybody to disprove anything we're talking about. Open invitation. And I will gladly, on air or on a live, admit that I was wrong about something. I've asked people to do this for years, and it's this is how you kind of slowly wake people up.
Yeah.
So I ask everybody to do the math, do what you can do to try and decipher some of the garbled junk that's going out in the media today, and do your own research on what's happening. Yeah. Don't take our words for it, and don't feel like you have no hope, but you do need to have serious conversations with your families. And you really need to sit down and look at each other and ask where do you sit in all of this? And this is going to be your Christmas. Your Christmas is going to be this decision, because after this is done, the war games are over. And they will be presenting Project Vector and Project Laser and Project Lectus to the province or to the Prime Minister, saying they are go or no go. So you ask yourself if you're going to take a vaccine or not. And that being said, you can find me on Facebook, just my name, Pat King. I'm on YouTube under Patrick King. I've got Parler as well, Wimkin, and a lot of other different platforms. But a lot of my stuff is on the Facebook because it's still a very reachable platform for a lot of people. So I kind of stick to that as much as I am. We're live right now on Facebook as well. So if you go onto my page, everything is public. I don't hide anything. You can take it all, anything you want. Do what you want. Share the messages out. That's all this is about, is an information war, because of the way they've made social media a weapon. So it's an information war. And when you hand out documents, first thing you do is you look at the articles, go research the author, go research the news agency. Before you ever think if a story is true or not, go research who these people are.
And you'll see. Absolutely. You know, Pat, you shared your wake-up moment with people. We all have that moment. I believe now that a lot of people are getting to that point where they're going to have a wake-up moment in their lives. So I say to those people that when that does happen to you, you're going to feel anger. You're going to feel fear like you have never felt before in your life when you really sit down and look yourself in the mirror and say, hey, what these people are telling me is real, and it's now my responsibility to stand against it. So when that happens, folks, keep your feet on the ground. Pat, thanks for joining me today, but great conversation, and if you'll oblige me, we'll do this again in the very near future.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Barry.
Okay, folks, follow Pat, and like I said, the man has got courage. And that really takes a lot in this world today. I'm going to be back with Kellyanne Wolf in a couple of minutes. This lady is a firecracker. Hang around, folks. This is the first time I've ever done 3 hours of radio in one day, so bear with me. Thanks again, Pat.
Yeah, thanks, Barry. And tell okay. Kellyanne instead. Tell her I say hi.
I will, sir.
All right, thanks.
Okay, I'll be back in 3 minutes, guys.
My role has been
Welcome back, third hour, guys, and thanks for Pat's input in the second hour. Thanks again to Roger, first hour. I'm not saying I saved the best for the last, but I definitely have an incredible individual that I've been following for a while now. This lady has courage that I wish would rub off on the rest of Canada. It's great to have Kellyanne Wolfe on with me. Kelly is spearheading a lot of the demonstrations for Toronto. She's deeply involved with the Mrs. Canada and Hugs Over Mass. I believe I said that correctly, Kelly. Welcome to the show. Great to have you on.
Thanks for having me so much. Yeah, and I started my own project as well. It's freedomforumcanada.com. And right. What we're doing is we're building a network for all you guys to actually get on a weekly schedule so that we can supply Canadians with a different source to go to counteract all the false news out there.
Cool. Well, yeah. If we can help you out, I'm all on board because, boy, are we in crazy times right now.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that. I mean, we've been rallying. Oh, my gosh, I've been going to, what, 3 or 4 a week now. So, but we're starting to really, really get some serious ground here. I mean, today in Barrie, I was pretty shocked. We hit about 100 people at least. And, I mean, in the freezing cold temperatures, that's pretty good. And we got a lot of people, passerbys, that stopped, and they stayed for the entire duration of the rally. Dr. Emad came up, and he hit the mic, and that was a nice surprise because a lot of people canceled on speaking today, so I had to hold the fort down myself. But that was fine. And Peter Salemi showed up, and that is pretty crazy how we flipped him over. So he used to be... It is. He used to be quite the monarchy kind of guy, but nowadays he has no faith, and he's come on over to the dark side.
I agree with you. A couple of years ago, I talked to him, and I got that kind of, wait, we're not on the same page, but I see the change because people are really starting to understand the depths of the evil behind us right now and where it's coming from.
Well, what it is, I think, is in a psychological, I mean, this is a psychological war, first and foremost, right? Yeah. So you got to remember, people, there's only 5 ways that people learn, and most people need to see the evidence. So, and we've got such a plethora now of evidence that there's just no excuse for people to turn their heads. There's just no excuse, especially with the World Doctors Alliance coming out 2 weeks ago and announcing to the entire world that this pandemic is over. Mm-hmm. You know, so, and that's the entire march in Dundas Square yesterday. I said it. I hit that microphone hard, and you should have seen people taking to their phones. I just kept shooting out that website, www.worlddoctorsalliance.com. Your government is lying to you. Go and check it out for yourself.
That's a very, very powerful link, and I've gone and looked at it myself. Why can't people go and look at this stuff, Kelly? That's a question we talked about. We talked about this in the first hour. But the level of cognitive dissonance in Canada.
It comes down to indoctrination, right? So, yeah. Like, this is, like, that's why I say this is a psychological war. I mean, look how long the media has been playing at this, guys. Like, this was introduced through movies. This was introduced, like, it's all premeditated and preset into people's subconscious, you know, and that's how it works. And that's how they get there. Like, the only way the government ever works is to divide and conquer people through fear tactics. Mm-hmm. So, and that's what they've done. So they've scared the crap out of everybody, you know, and they just, it's a continuous marketing campaign. You know, all you hear about cases, this cases, that, guys, this thing has never been isolated. It's never been isolated, you know, and what's important is, Let me first explain how I got into this in the first place. I've been politically active for 21 years. So anytime there's some sort of oppression, you can guarantee that I'm going to have a big mouth. So, and, you know, during the G7, I was locked up in chicken coops with the likes of Dan Dix from Press for Truth and, you know, just all kinds of stuff. But this, in this case, I have the rarest blood on Earth, and everybody can look this up. It's Rh null. Only 1,400 people on Earth have my blood type, and it's not that I'm immune to everything. It's that I create 10,000 times more white blood cells than the average person. So every time a new virus arises, I get a phone call because they want to use my blood, test my blood against these pathogens, whether they're similar, the same, or they're trying to couple them all into one, you know, one title, which is what they did with this in this particular case. And so I got a phone call from Sunnybrook. I went down. I provided them with 19 vials of blood. for them to use to test against the several different genetic samples that they collected from patients who had similar symptoms within Sunnybrook Hospital. Then they, I'm sure everybody remembers the headlines in the Star and the Sun across Canada and across, even across the States, saying that they isolated COVID, you know, SARS-CoV-2 and blah, blah, blah at Sunnybrook Hospital. Well, that wasn't the case. The media lied. So, and I knew that right from the get-go because I actually have the repository report that these scientists put together from their research, including my blood. Yeah. And I can provide you guys, it's, I posted it up on my profile on Facebook and it will be posted tomorrow on freedomformcanada.com. I'll make sure that it's up there for everybody to have access to. But on lines 210 to 216 of this report, which was given to the government on April 12th, it clearly states that this virus has no effect on, nor can it replicate on, healthy immune tissue. So to put that into layman's terms, it means that this government has known since April 12th that asymptomatic people are quite literally walking vaccines.
Right. Right. I understand that. You understand that. Why can't Canadian people understand that? Why can't we get that information to their heads? Kelly, because I'm aware of what you're talking about. Go ahead.
Well, there's a serious media blackout.
Listen, I'm only putting questions to you. I got the answers to, but I just want your response.
No, I know, I know, I know, I know. I appreciate that. So, yeah. it's the media blackout. We've got fake news that is down all our throats. We've got censorship happening on such a massive scale across this country. And if people want to know, like, for instance, the second the deputy prime minister took over, Chrystia Freeland, there was a $600 million bailout paid to mainstream media. You know, and this, we're talking, like, people need to look into the backgrounds of the people who are responsible for these things. She is the granddaughter of the man responsible for all of the propaganda under Hitler. Her education, yeah, a lot of people didn't know that. You know what I mean? And once you start to realize where these people come from and who they are, things will start making a lot more sense. You know,
she, bloodlines.
Yeah, as crazy as it is, I know. Trust me, like even me, like I was like, no, no way.
But, can't but be.
Can't be. But then, if you look, McLean's magazine did a full layout about who she is. You know, so for all those people out there, you know, you're supposed. It's not that you're stupid. Nobody's stupid. You're supposed to be able to trust these sources. You're supposed to be able to trust your doctors. You're supposed to be able to trust your mainstream outlets. But it's just not that. That's just not the case anymore. It's become so infested with corruption on every level, every institution in our government, in Canada and the United States, and it's time for the people to stand up and make a change. It's just that simple.
Yeah, we can't make this stuff up, Kelly, if we tried.
No, you really can't. It's so ridiculous.
We've woken up in wackadoodle world. I mean,
yeah.
What's happened here in the last 10 months in Canada? It's just beyond insanity, and it's just ramping up like light speed. I have to laugh at a lot of things you just said because it's so ridiculous. It really is that they're carrying on this man right now, and I don't know.
Yeah. Well, for the listeners out there,
people to stand up, man, because they got to at this point. We're going to lose.
Well, I'll tell you how to do it. I'll tell you. It's as simple as this. Anybody out there that can prove me wrong for the list of information I'm about to give you, I encourage you to do so. How about that?
Okay.
So prove me wrong. So number one, we have a Minister of National Defense who lied on his resume, lied to foreign media about his service in the Canadian military. Now, although stolen valor is not a crime in Canada, but it should be, in my opinion, although it's not, public perjury absolutely is. It comes with a 10-year sentence in a military prison. So why does this man still have a job? Okay. There's your number one problem. Number two, the ex-minister of finance, Moneybags Morneau, he invested in the Wuhan lab in 2013. Prove me wrong. There is an actual, there's like, you know, like this virus was created. There is, what do you call it? What's that? What do you call it? There's a patent. There's a patent on the coronavirus, this specific coronavirus. I actually have a copy. And if you guys want, I'll post it up on the website as well tomorrow. You know, I've got a copy of the original patent, and Bill Morneau had every hand in financing that. Think about that. We're talking about a man who was responsible for Canada pensions, and we're talking about a virus which has fully been a threat to our elderly. So come on, guys. How much money did Bill Moneybags Morneau make on the death of our elderly who are now losing their pensions and have nobody to allocate that money to?
Yep.
You know, come on, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this stuff out. Okay, on top of that, look at our ex-minister of immigration. This man fully tried to provide a loophole by removing protections in the Canadian Citizenship Guide against female genital mutilation. You guys can look this up. You can go on YouTube and watch Michelle Rempel from the Conservative Party confront him in the House of Commons. That's, what was his name? Ahmed Hussein, the last minister of immigration. She confronted him, you know, because, you know, certain sources, I'm not going to say who, supplied her with a leaked draft copy of the Canadian Citizenship Guide where they removed the protections. Now, why on earth would anybody ever do that? If not to provide a loophole, a lawful excuse for the practice of that disgusting, like, tradition to come to Canada.
Well, why are we allowing ISIS fighters to walk free on the streets of Canada? No one ISIS.
But, and I'll tell you where it starts. It starts with words, and I say this at every single rally. Okay, words are the most important part of every society. It is the words we use that define the laws that keep the peace amongst a vast array of different individual people with different beliefs, different wants, different needs, different aspirations, whatever the case may be. So, but if you don't understand the words, then you don't know what you're talking about. And there are two different uses for the English language. That's why when you go to a courtroom, they speak perfect English, but you can never understand what they're saying because they have a completely different use of the English language. As an example, I'm sure everybody, every single one of the listeners has heard Justin Trudeau go on and on about how we need to support our foreign fighters. Well, what if I told you that when he says foreign fighters, he's talking about ISIS? It changes your complete perception about how you feel about that topic now, doesn't it? He's not talking about a faction of the Canadian military, folks. He's talking about ISIS. Prove me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what I'm saying. That is, it's called psycholinguistic manipulation. It's when you intentionally use terms to cause an emotional effect, a positive emotional effect in people in order to get them to support things they would never stand behind. That's just like when, they changed illegal aliens. If I tell you there's a bunch of illegal aliens coming to Canada, immediately you know that I'm talking about somebody who, A, has no respect for our laws, B, is committing a criminal act. But if I tell you irregular migrants, all of a sudden you feel sorry for that person.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Absolutely. We're good people. This country is known around the entire, I've traveled the whole world. Everywhere I've gone, I've been accepted with open arms, not because I got blonde hair and blue eyes, not because I'm a chick, but because I'm Canadian. We are known around the entire world for being the people that end the wars and clean up the wars, not the ones that start it, because we're good people. And the entire world is absolutely depending on us right now to handle this situation and to provide everybody else with a means of an answer.
You know, getting back to the word words, I mean, the word pandemic, Kelly, let's talk about how that was used.
It's ridiculous.
I talked about this earlier, you know, the actual definition of a pandemic. And, you know, there's five different classifications. And we haven't even gotten close to the first classification for them to actually label this as a pandemic. But, of course, our prime minister came out and said 50,000 to 350,000 Canadians are dying, are going to die from this. This is a global pandemic. We've got to take drastic measures, 14 days to flatten the curve, 11 months ago.
This is ridiculous. Okay, like we just moved from the age of hypocrisy into the age of speculation.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it is. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's the age of speculation. We need to change speculation to evidence. We need an evidence-based society, period. Everything is simple. People complicate things for their own personal greedy agendas.
You need the facts.
Yeah, give us the facts. Not your guesses, not what you think is going to happen. I don't care. Like, somebody can, like, look at these guys. Like, you know, Justin Trudeau, for instance, thinks that wearing purple socks is a good idea. Come on.
Go ahead, Pat. I know you want to weigh in on this. I got to let Pat add a comment because he's sitting here frothing at the bit.
Well, you got to see this for what it's worth. And Kelly, you hit the nail on the head. The play with the words in our English dictionary, and now there's two different languages that they're being used that confuses people. That's a huge thing. And then they use that manipulation along with these, the way they do their news reports, the way they pump the numbers out constantly, the way they're pumping out deaths and this many people died, but they're never focusing on who recovered. They're never showing you the amount of numbers of the people that have walked away from this. And, you know, is there a cold? Yeah, there's a cold. But when you look at last year's death rates to this year's death rates, there is no spike. There is no increase of death. It's absolutely horrendous how many people in the, and I say this, you said everything that I had just, like, I firmly believe on. That was insane, because it's true. We have lost sight of our Canadian core values and being able to travel around the world. The whole world would welcome a Canadian before they would welcome American not too long ago. And go now ahead, you look go at, ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, look what just happened in Iran. Okay, guys, you're taking, like, this is a country that was taken over by a radical regime in the 70s, okay? And what happened? So, you know, Trump shot down Soleimani or whatever the hell his name is, Salami, whatever his name is, and nothing, and the people didn't rise. Then, the regime shot down a Canadian plane, and the entire country rose in defiance of that regime. That is how much we matter to other people. That is how much they count on our example. You guys, we were obligated to provide them with that example. People float across here on logs for a reason. I've traveled to some of the most radical areas on earth. I was in Afghanistan. The American Army picked me up in a helicopter. I wasn't up in the air 5 minutes, and there was bombs going off where I was standing. Like, that was the scariest. I peed myself. And I'll say it openly and publicly. I peed myself. That was the scariest moment of my life. Second scariest, I was in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. This guy got accused of stealing, and they took him right into the middle of the square, and they chopped off his hand. Is this the kind of society you want to be in? You need to stand up right now, and you need to say no. It's that simple.
Wow.
Yeah, I did, right in front of my face. Yeah, actually, my security detail had to literally cup his hand over my mouth and drag me out of there, because my big mouth was going to go off, and I probably would have been beheaded.
Wow. Yeah. I can't believe you experienced something like that. That would traumatize me for the rest of my life, Kelly.
Well, I can handle anything. I can handle anything psychologically, except watching. Like, I saw some stuff on the dark web. My brother showed me about with Hillary Clinton and these kids. That messed me up. I actually had to call a psychologist for that because when it comes to living children getting tortured, I have a serious problem with that. I think it's absolutely absurd that woman should be shot.
You know, I've seen, you know what, Kelly, I it's not a subject I like to bring up, but I've looked at a little bit of this myself, and I can't even look at it. It just brings me to my knees, and I'm bawling. Like,
I saw 29 seconds. Have that reaction,
it's beyond evil, Kelly. These people, you know, I stand in what I believe in my life. I am a Christian. I don't care what people say about that. I don't care what people think of me at this point in my life, but I know what I am seeing is the devil. Absolutely manifesting in front of my face, and
it's disgusting.
I hate him, and I know his day is coming. Go ahead.
It's disgusting. I saw 29 seconds on the dark web, and I immediately threw up everywhere. I got the sweats. I couldn't sleep for days, and because I didn't believe it, I'm like, come on, guys, that's going overboard. No, it's not going overboard. This stuff actually does exist, and I'm telling you that as somebody with a master's in clinical psychology. It is absolutely sickening. It is absolutely sickening. Now, when it comes to religion, I've studied a lot of religions, all of them actually, and I'm not going to put down any of them, and I'm going to tell you why, because all of them have some moral value. Now, as we move forward and evolve as human beings, you know, we leave behind what is radical and what no longer suits us or works, and we move on to the things that do work. And it's as simple as that. And when it comes to religion, I mean, it's the same thing. There's not a single religion that exists that doesn't have some sort of morbidity in its history. Not one.
Yep.
So as we move along, we adapt and we change. We leave behind that which does not serve us anymore. And, you know, and I'll say this, back in history, you know, we were barbarians. All people were very barbaric. So it called for barbaric measures to be taken. You know what I mean? The difference between, I'll say right now, within Christianity and Islam, for instance, is the fact that you got to remember, since the industrial period, the entire Middle East has been completely isolated from evolving with the rest of the world, with the rest of, like Christianity did. So, you know, these people have been oppressed. So, and they didn't know any better. Only in the last 10 to 15 years has the internet finally seeped its way into the Middle East. And guess what, guys? People are evolving. They're realizing they're oppressed. They're realizing they're not hated. And now you're seeing a rise, and they're starting to stand up against all these totalitarian, ridiculous, you know, tyrannical regimes that are trying to keep alive this old barbaric ways that needs to end. And that's the truth. I mean, if you can see that truth, if you look at the difference between Muslims in Canada and Muslims in the Middle East, for instance, right. just right there, big difference, big difference.
Right. Well, the different sects, radical Islam is what we stand against.
Yeah, well, we stand against radicals and everybody. I mean, if everybody's got one jackass in their family, then everybody, then 25% of every city is radical. And that's the truth. Right.
Yeah, so good point. Good point. how did we ever get to this point, Kelly?
No, I don't know.
Did we all go to sleep and wake up in a new world? But you know what? They've been working at this for years, and now we're starting to see it fester in our society. All these diabolical plans. No, it's been going on for a long, long time.
Yeah, they since biblical times.
Well, yeah. I mean, people think that all these things that are going on in our world are just a new norm. I mean, this is the way it is, but really, if we look at it, even in short history, the amount of change is done in society and where it's gotten to us now, man, where, for example, the male has been demasculated in society. Totally.
We need our men to rise. Listen, I'm going to say this to all the men out there listening. I'm going to raise the women. I'm telling you right now, I'm raising the women. And the women are going to bring hellfire to all this nonsense. Like, you know, and I mean hellfire in a friggin' in a heavenly way, let's say. You know, they're going to be our soldiers. So you guys need to shape up because you're going to have to back us. I'm not giving you a choice.
Hey, no. Hey, whoa.
Okay, Pat, you're an exception.
No, there's lots of me. There's lots of people around. And there's lots of me out there.
I agree. Yeah. That's why I got so much love for like the Lion Canada, for instance, because you know, I know a lot of people are trying to come down on them, but I'll tell you, there's a lot of men in that organization. There's a lot of men and they're right across the country and I'm proud of them. I'm proud of all the organizations. So, you know, and I got to say this though, when it comes to the division and the rise of the propaganda against all of our organizations, people stay the course. The thicker that the propaganda gets, the better that we are doing, the more ground that we're gaining. You can mark my words on that. So just ignore it and stay the course.
I'm going to add one quick comment.
That's why we're doing what we're doing still. That's why yesterday, Kelly, did you see I got my first $1,200 ticket?
Did you?
Yeah, I got my ticket yesterday for not social distancing. So they got me in their course.
Congratulations, buddy. I've been begging for tickets. I've been begging for tickets for months. So I remember Doug Ford was inside Queen's Park telling everybody on the news how he was going to, you know, start ticketing protesters. I was right outside the building with four massive speakers yelling, "Where's my fine, Doug Ford?" I've been begging for it.
Guess how many officers it took to give me a ticket?
How many?
12.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty interesting, pretty comical yesterday. You should check my live feed out.
I'm gonna check it out. I'll definitely check it out. That's hilarious. That's so funny. I've been begging for months, man. Even when I went to Mississauga rally, we had about 1,000 people. But you know what I've been doing? Before I get to all these different municipalities, I've been sending an evidence package and I've been working in correspondence with Stand Up Canada. For anybody who wants to know what Stand Up Canada does, jump on to standupcanada.solutions. These guys have done their work, man. These women are absolutely phenomenal. Paula Tucci, I hand her all the respect in the world. If you guys didn't see that Mrs. Canada round with that, I think it was just last week with Paula Tucci and everyone, go check it out. I mean, you'll learn so much. You'll learn how to defend yourself, your rights. You know, these women have really dissected the legislation on everything. And you know, and just to find out, and thank God for them, because just to find out that this government never met the requirements within the Emergency Measures Act to enact it in the first place. Guys, you need to realize that's a violation of Section 83 of the Criminal Code of Canada, which is domestic terrorism. That means that the first shutdown was an act of domestic terrorism. People need to realize that this is very serious stuff. Like, our government is committing domestic terrorism on us.
And they treat me like a domestic terrorist.
Yeah.
You're a Islamophobic bigot, man. Come on.
I'm Canada's favorite white supremacist.
I'd love for them to try and call me that, because I think the entire Ahmadiyya Society of Canada will raise in my defense. So I dare them. You know, one of my best friends in the world is Mubin Shaikh. I mean, he is the Muslim, you know, the Muslim Canadian dude from Toronto who infiltrated the Toronto 18 and saved the lives of everybody within a 60-mile radius of the CN Tower, for crying out loud. You know, he's the one that took him down, and he is a Muslim Canadian born and raised in Toronto. You know what I mean? And, you know, and what did he do? He infiltrated. He saw some radicalism happening. He's got counterterrorism training. He jumped right in there full on. Why? Because democracy matters. Because he understands the difference between you know, the radicalism in in Islamism and being a Muslim. I call him my Sufi Jedi. The guy's amazing. He's a hero. He's a Canadian hero.
I'm going to add one comment. I'll let you guys go. I do get to say once in a while, I get to say something.
Yeah,
I'm going to add to what you said there about females. And I'm going to say right now that if every female, every parent in Canada knew exactly what was going on, they could get past the mystique and hear you talk and absolutely understand what was going on, you would see a rise in the country like we've never seen before. So I agree with you. But there's also a lot of us guys that are fighting just as hard.
Oh, I love, listen, I love you guys. I love you guys. You guys are amazing. You guys, I like to say the qua. That's my own little word that I invented. So I'm like, you guys are the qua. You're the qua. You're the heroes of this war.
And so, yeah, people in the chat room have never heard you before, and they're asking me where I found this firecracker.
Pop, pop. Well, I'm a little hard to miss once I open my mouth.
No, you keep going. I want you to talk, Charlie, because it's awesome to have a woman on that speaks like you do, because it's hard to find in our world right now. But I believe that's changing. I really do.
Well, you know what? I wouldn't be able to do – you know what? And I thank all you guys, because you guys really – if I didn't have the backup from you boys, you know, I – like maybe it would – you know, well, no, that's not true. I'm pretty brave, so but like I'm a pretty brave chick. But at the same time, I'm glad. I'm so honored that you guys all have my back the way you do. You know what I mean? Which is amazing, because that's what I'm saying. We need men like you guys in this country to start standing the hell up, and it's as simple as that. You got to stand up, and more women like me will rise. I see them starting to rise. I do. I see them, and you know, and the messages I get sometimes, and I'm still a woman, guys. I'm a very emotional chick. You know, and I really, really love our people. I really love our country. I really love all the cultures. Guys, we got the greatest country on earth. We've got everything here. Every culture, every creed, every race, every religion. You know, we've got every opportunity. We are leading. We have the power within our people to lead the entire world to evolve. Enough with revolution.
I just want to chime in just on this, and then I'll leave it alone. But when you said about the diversity of Canada, you said about the diversity of people leaving their countries to come here and have been trained in this stuff, and they've stood up to see democracy last. Yeah, now you're saying something else that's happening. One thing that people are forgetting about in this key movement is the fact that these people come from other countries that they've already seen this happening in. And they got away from their tyrannous governance, their tyrannical governments. They got away from their communist ideologies and their socialism because they wanted a better life. And now you have it here in Canada. And one thing I can say I can focus on, the most that stood out the most to me when I was able to attend your rally in Toronto, Kelly, is the fact that the difference of ethnicities in the crowds, and the Russians and the Serbians and the different cultural, multilingual melting pot that was there. And the key thing that they're saying is a lot of people are, you know, they're coming out of the woodworks and they know what could happen to them and their citizenship and stuff. But they realize that this is why they left their countries, is to get away from this. And they are rising and they are standing up and they are speaking out because they are trying to help Canadians stop this in our country. They are speaking up. And I saw that. Yeah. That's the key thing I saw in Toronto with listening and speaking to other. It's okay to talk to us. We know what's going on. But to hear it from another perspective, It's absolutely mind-blowing. I don't think it's happening here in Canada for the people that are kind of skeptical. It's happening, and it's happening fast.
Well, listen, that's why
people need to talk to each other.
Yeah, that's what happened with Vlad. See, okay, so what happened? Now, we only started, they called us the Queen's Park Quartet. There was me, Chris Skye, Vlad Sobolev, who is the founder of Hugs Over Masks, and Lamont Daigle from The Line. And it was the four of us at Queen's Park, and we're the ones that kicked this all off, right? So we if you asked me 9 months ago if I'd be the chick leading the Canadian freaking, you know, civil rights movement, I would have been like, yeah, right, right? But this is where we are, guys, and it's not just Canadian. Like, we spread around the whole world. Chris flew over to Ireland and spoke in front of 400,000 people, you know. And Dolores Cahill jumped on board because of Chris Skye, you know. So, like, don't sit back and think, what can I do? We started off just the four of us with a couple of megaphones. I'm the one, I brought the first PA system, you know what I mean? And that's it. The second we got these boys on the microphones, We just started hammering it for what it is. You got to be blunt. You know, all these people, like, you're conditioned to be politically correct. Enough with that. Tell it like it is. Don't be afraid. Free speech exists in democracy for a reason. Okay?
Political, and I'm going to talk. What got us into this trouble in the first place?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, don't mind your P's and Q's. Listen, if you guys and I right now saw a guy walking down the street kissing a picture of Hitler, what would we do? We would be like, what the heck? We would laugh. We'd go home. We'd tell our spouses or whatever about it. And we'd forget about it the next day because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If somebody were to come up to me, calling me, screaming the most obscene names to me in my face, is it going to change my life? No, it is not. It's not. Know where your feet are. Know who you are. Know where your feet are. And it's time that everybody in this country realizes what it means to be Canadian. To the mothers out there, any of the mothers, like to the men that are listening, show your women this. I want you to make sure that they hear my message right now. Over 780 kids under the age of 15 in the last 8 months have committed suicide because of this lockdown. 780 kids. What are you going to wait for it to be your own before you say something? Come on, ladies, get up.
It's more than the COVID deaths.
That's ridiculous. That's 780 kids under the age of 15. The youngest one, I believe, was in Edmonton. She was 8 years old. And what did she do? She wrote on the mirror, "Mommy, I'm sorry. I can't be alone anymore," and took a hairdryer in the bathtub with her. My goodness. It's time for us to start community parenting again. If my neighbor's kid went missing, I would not sleep until that child was found. And I would expect the same from every single person in my community when it comes to my own kids. And it's time for us to get that back. Stop ignoring the stuff that's happening outside your house. You know, I remember when I was a kid, if I did something wrong and my neighbor Maria, if her grandmother would beat my butt all the way back to my house, hand me over to my parents, rat out what I did, and I'd get another beating. You know, that's community. I'm sorry, but that's community parenting. And you know, and that's the way we need to get back to that. We need to get back to that because we're losing the morale in this country.
Boy, oh boy. That brought tears to me. It really did. Kelly, I'm just gathering my thoughts here, thinking that.
She's absolutely, you know, here, right, though.
Well, you know, 780 children have taken their lives.
Yeah, the last one was just a few days. It was like, 4 days ago in California? This kid just freaking blew his head off during one of his distancing classes. His sister was in the next room doing her own distancing classes on the computer, and she heard the shot, went into the room. This kid was 11 years old, found a gun, and blew his head off while he was on his social distancing class. Come on, guys. Enough.
Wow.
I don't know what to say to that right now.
11 years old. 11 years old. Okay, and anybody out there who wants to try and blame that on the guns, really? So this kid has known for 11 years where that gun is. On all of a sudden, give me a break. Hey, give me a break.
I lost a friend the other day.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, and the sad part of it is I know that it was the COVID that started it. And the sad part is her, you know, her family is small business owners, and they've been affected by it, and now they have to, you know, do what they got to do now. And this is COVID. This whole bullshit. Sorry, this whole stuff with COVID has got me. It has gotten more personal for me. I've known all about everything that you're saying, Kelly. I know everything like you're talking about, right down to the fact of governments and their systems and all this blah. But what they've done to the Canadian population, to the proud Canadians, to the Canadians who love their country now. What they've done is absolutely horrible, and it's even more personal for me now. It's more personal.
This should be personal. This should be personal to everybody. This should be personal to absolutely everybody. I take it personal. I take every single Canadian life and American life personal, and I'll tell you why. Because we are the ones who are guiding the evolution, and I cannot die. I cannot die and leave my kids in a world where they're going to be slaves. I will not die. I don't care. It's not going to happen. It's just as simple as that. I said no. And now everybody else, you need to say no. That's all we have to do is just say no.
It's the most powerful world in the English dictionary right now, and it can be a lot more stronger and a lot more tougher than a bullet or a vaccine or anything if you just say no.
Yeah, that's it. That's all. It's not long. The police are coming onto our side. We're getting them, okay? Because these are people too who are being affected. And to the rest of the police out there that might be listening and stuff, because I know that CSIS is watching me left, right, and center.
Oh, they're watching me.
Yeah, they're watching us all. But if you don't, if you think for 1 second that they're not taking in everything that we're saying, don't kid yourself, because these are Canadian people. They did that litmus test with the Army, okay? They did it. They did a litmus test with the Army, and they know the soldiers declared they're going to be 100% on the side of Canadians. Okay, it's only the upper commands that are getting their pockets lined. So now what did the military do? They started outsourcing. They started offering Canadian citizenships to people from the most radical areas on Earth in order for them to enter into the Canadian Army. In return, they get Canadian citizenship. So, yep. But even, that's not even, that doesn't scare me. Because I'll tell you what, no matter how many people that they hire into the Canadian Army from abroad, we not only have our soldiers, we have our vets. And believe me, they're ready to go. Believe me, they're ready to go.
They are, Pat. They are right now, and I know that there's people in my community that feel the same way that you do. And I've been lucky lately to communicate and connect with them. And I say to people that you have to find people right now of like mind. Because yep. If the poop does hit the fan, you need to have people in your community that you know you can stand with. That's all I wanted to say. Go ahead, Pat. I know you wanted to say something.
I did an interview with Sean Arnston the other day, a former Afghanistan vet, said the exact same thing. He says that the Army's letting in people so that they're weeding out the old stock Canadians out of our military. We have a military now post Afghanistan. We don't have a military post World War II anymore. We have a military that has been infiltrated and driven in a direction that the governments want it to be driven in. And basically we're in trouble. We are in trouble. Our military is ineffective. He openly stated our military has been compromised. It's ineffective, and we're right for the pickings. So if that's what you're seeing, what's happening to us now.
But you know what? That's still, for me, from what I've, because I've spoken to a lot of military personnel over the last 9 months, and I've spoken to a lot of our brothers in arms, a lot of the barracks from the South, and I'll tell you, we're safe, guys. I'll tell you right now, don't kid yourself, we're safe.
On the back side of it, yes, I do believe that the veterans and everybody on that side, but what he was saying was on the military that you have now is combat ineffective. So with
what
we have on our side, it'll be easy. Our military won't be, they're not what we thought, they're not what we think it is.
No, they're not. They're not. But that's another way. Listen, I'll tell you right now, I'm in full contact with Don Jr., Donald Trump's son. We've been friends for a long time on Instagram. Trust me, we're safe. Our brothers in arms will always have our back. They will always have our back. So, and I'll tell you, this is why I have the full confidence. And this is why another reason why I get so nervy, you know, when I talk, because I know we're safe at the end of the day. But we need to seize it now, because if we don't, then we're going to have a serious problem. So we need to seize our country now. Our people need to stand up right now. Now's the time. You know, we're starting to, like, time is, we're losing time, guys. So you need to get up. Everybody needs to.
Sean said it the same way, is we're at the cusp in history right now.
Yes.
Where when there was these same things happening over in Europe, that we are at the spot where the Bolsheviks and the Jewish people should have started rising up. Because we're starting to see the slow disintegration of our rights. They're slowly chipping away little at little at little. And now they want to come for our money. They want to come for our savings to try and stimulate the economy. Now they're giving you tickets at businesses. They're giving you tickets at home. They're giving you tickets for standing on the street.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I spit milk out my nose this morning when I watched that video of Chrystia Freeland. I spit milk right out my nose. She's like, well, I was just like people just to give it to me. And I'm like, what? What did you say? I'm like, what? I'm like, did this Oompa Loompa just tell people to give her their life savings? And I'm like, I literally spit milk right out my nose. And I'm like, someone needs to smack her. I'm sorry, but honestly, whatever happened to discipline? Someone needs to take that little Oompa Loompa and bend her over their lap and smack her bottom. Like,
oh, you're killing me.
Why not cut down all the politicians' wages? They're not working anyway.
We got to put lie collars on all of them. That'd be number one, man. Shock collars, you know, like
This woman is just absurd. Like, first of all, what kind of little cartoon character do we have as our minister? Get them out of here. Get out of here with this nonsense. Like, come on. We got a drama teacher who got fired from being a drama teacher because he couldn't keep his hands off a child. Yeah. You know, and guys, you can't deny this anymore. There is a $6 million, you know, a non-disclosure agreement signed, period. Yeah. That's all it takes. You don't need to even know what it's about. He got a $6 million non-disclosure agreement for something to do with being fired from being a drama teacher. How hard is it? Listen, to be a drama teacher, all you got to do is dress up in a costume and read some lines in a funny way. Okay? That's all you got to do. It's not a difficult job. It's really not. And no disrespect to the drama teachers out there. I love drama. I had a great time. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, that's all he is. This guy does not control nothing. He is a Muppet. He is nothing more than a Muppet. If he doesn't have his earpiece, every time he's missing his earpiece, he goes off and says the stupid things like, you know, like drink box, water, whatever, thingamajiggy. Like, you know, come on. You know, he doesn't have a clue. He was never even qualified to be an MP. He was just put there so he can take your tax dollars because he's part of a family line. You know, and that's it. Yeah. And that's why, listen, this is what it comes down to. People need to really understand we don't have democracy in this country. This is a monarchy. The people that you elect are not your government. They don't swear an oath to you. They swear an oath to the crown. Okay? And it's as simple as that. A real democracy consists of a one-bodied government, one-bodied, populated by independently elected, you know, ministers. And that's the truth. And the only opposition to that one-bodied government should be the people, and the people should have the supreme universal power at any time to remove one person or all persons by majority consensus vote. That is a democracy. This is a monarchy. Get real.
Right. Our government has been so blatantly overrun, and their agenda that they're trying to push. We uncovered the thieving of your money months ago. Yeah. And we're trying to tell people, and they're like, oh, no, they can't do that. Ladies and gentlemen, this is part of Project Laser. This is part of Project Vector. This is part of Project Letsky. This is what they are doing. This is the Project Laser was the seizure of assets, so you can take your businesses away, they can take your money away, they can take your children away, they can take you away.
Listen, guys, there's no difference. You want to know what the government's doing right now? Look at what Chrystia Freeland just did, okay? Yeah. You know what she basically said? She basically said, ha, 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 we're going to kill you all, and it's going to be fine, don't worry. That's what she said. Yep. That's what she said. It's just because she's laughing and smiling doesn't change the content of what she's saying.
I just puked after talking.
The change in the English dictionary that's nonverbal communication. That's laughing at something that's sad. That's shaking your head no while you're saying something yes. You know?
We're just gonna take all of your life savings so that you know, so that we can make sure that we give it to all the people that we're stealing the money from.
Yeah. You have nothing, so therefore you will be happy.
Like that, don't worry. We'll take, guess what, guys? Guess where the government gets their money from? Guess where they get it from? Get it from us. Yep. They take it from us. So asking you to give more than what they're already stealing is retarded. It's retarded.
Can I say what Trudeau said to Brock at the open town hall meeting? You know, I'm sorry, government, you're asking for more than we can give you.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I know. I remember. I saw that, and I almost threw up. I almost threw up right in my own mouth. That was so disgusting. This man served in our military. That man served in our military, period. He should have emptied his pockets right there on the spot. He should have emptied his own pockets right there on the spot. Like, look how many millions of dollars this pissant, and I'm sorry for swearing, guys, but he is one. So, you know, look how much millions of dollars he has that his father stole from us. He stole from us. You know, like, give me a break. If a vet comes up to you and you are a person who is supposed to be managing the public and serving the public, empty your pockets right there. That would have been a show of some sort of, you know, responsibility. No, get the heck out of here with your nonsense. I mean, I'm so sick of this government. Guys, like, they're disgusting. You know that just last year alone, there was 22 women in Saskatchewan that were forced sterilization by the government's order. That's disgusting. Look what's happening to our native people. Look what's happening to them. You think they've been oppressed? You know, they're just oppressed or no, they're greedy. No, they're not. They've been oppressed because they are the people within the Constitution. You and I are not people. You and I are persons. That's why when a cop pulls you over, he asks you if you have any identification on your person, because we're not people. They're the people. They're the ones where it says no law shall supersede the will of the people. That's why they're oppressed, because they're the ones that can walk into the Supreme Court of Canada and tell this government, get out. That's why they're oppressed. That's why they divide Canadians and natives. Don't make no mistake. Go look it up. Prove me wrong.
Absolutely.
Wow. I could listen to you talk for days, Kelly. I only use a radio. I've been on for about 8 years. I have never had a lady on like you, so this has just been absolutely a joy listening to you talk. But all I'll say is that your courage really needs to rub off on people. That we're listening to a person talk with their hearts, and we're all here talking with our hearts.
It is my heart. It absolutely is my heart. I love our country.
So do I.
I love our country. I would fall down on 1,000 swords 1,000 times for our people and our country. And that includes every race, every culture, every creed. This is Canada. And it's, you know, and I am a Canadian girl through and through, and I will always stand by that.
Here's something that I got from one of my listeners here today. Denise Salci says, hybrid warfare is a military strategy which employs political warfare and blends conventional warfare, irregular warfare, and cyber warfare with other influencing methods such as fake news, diplomacy, lawfare, and foreign electoral intervention. Keeps going by combining kinetic operations with subversive efforts. The aggressor intends to avoid attribution or retribution. Hybrid warfare can be used to describe the flexible and complex dynamics of the battle space, requiring a highly adapting. So that is what you're seeing. And when I went to Bilderberg, that was one of what I talked about, is the weaponization of social media and how they are brainwashing people and doing what they're doing here. People don't want to see this.
Let me give you a method.
The Wii scandal that goes all to his family. Yagmeet Singh says, I want this investigated. Then all of a sudden,
Yagmeet Singh is a radical terrorist. Get him out of here.
Get him out of here. How do you ever get in there?
Hey, well, how did Iqra Khalid ever get in there, too? She was in York University. She told everybody what she was going to do. That should have been investigated. We have such an infestation of stupidity in all of our institutions. It all needs to go. It's time for complete reform. Complete.
Ivory, you've seen it. People, okay, so this is how blatantly in your face it was. Even the sleeping sleeper sheeple see bribery at its finest, and they say it's okay. He bribed Yagmeet Singh to shut down his party's investigation and not for them. Right in, we need a two-tiered reformed electoral reform party, 100%. We got to get, there is no way, I don't know how we have survived this long with five different parties, and you can buddy up with either one, whatever one toes your line. That's insane. Insane.
Well, they're all the same snake with a different head, guys. We know that.
It's all nuts. This is all nuts. It's absolutely crazy. But it needs to change, and it's going to change. And I'm not going to shut up until it does. So, and trust me, I could be real annoying. So, and I don't care. And I can I run off 2 hours sleep a night, and I don't care. I'm not going to stop. And I encourage everybody else to get out there with me. I do. Don't stop. What are they going to do? I've been dying for them to ticket me. They won't ticket me, and I'll tell you why. They haven't ticketed me yet because I'm going to make such a public fiasco out of it. That they know I'm going to blow it up. I'm going to blow. What are they? You know what I mean? They're trying to paint all you leader men as radical now. That's the next step. Okay, and I'm ahead of them on the game. So I'm going to take the aggressor. You can be aggressive without being violent. You absolutely can. So I'm going to do it. Let's see them try to label a 5-foot female as a terrorist.
Hey Kelly.
Wednesday,
February 3rd. Want to come to Red Deer, Alberta?
Yeah, I'm coming. I'm actually heading out west with Doug Force from the Mythos Canada for the entire spring.
I'll take you fishing on the ocean next year, Kelly.
Oh, I'm coming.
My buddy's got a 26-foot boat.
That's the day I have fishing. That's the day I'm in court for my ticket.
Oh, I'll come. I'll make some. Oh, they won't want me there. Trust me. coming.
Kelly, real quick, Kelly, you served in the military for how long?
No, I never served in the military. Okay. I do have counterterrorism training.
Okay.
So I am certified in counterterrorism.
Really?
Yes, I am.
Amazing. Amazing. And all this time, I thought you were just a pretty face.
No, you know what? I did. I educated myself. I thoroughly educated myself. I studied human behavior. I studied criminal profiling. I traveled the whole world, and I really got into the depths. I never stayed in the safe spaces. I went and mixed and mingled with some of the heaviest cultures and tribes around the entire world, and I came home, and I decided to become a musician because there's only three things that really unite people on Earth. That's food, music, and God.
Amen. And I was trying to be funny, of course.
Yeah, I know.
My attempt at humor today, but I find that we have to add a little humor here and there because it's absolutely ridiculous.
Well, you got to learn to laugh.
Well, when you get people laughing too, Kelly, it makes them realize just the stupidity of what they're laughing at.
Yeah. This is stupid. This is so stupid, guys. When we had a 10-year-old little boy named Joey, and I love this kid. I love him like he's my own son. Okay, out at Queen's Park, and I encourage everyone.
Joey,
he's the best.
Get on a stage with him.
Yeah, he's the best, man. He's the best. This kid, and I encourage everyone to go on YouTube, look up Joey at Queen's Park from the summertime and his speech, because this 10-year-old boy can teach all kinds of adults a big lesson.
Absolutely. He's wicked.
What an inspiration. What an inspiration.
Yeah. And that's what it's about. These kids need to be listened to. Go check out all the hugs for – check out Bridget. I love this girl. I love it. Or you can see my daughter, Gracie. She's the one that set off all these kids in the first place. She was the first kid to speak at Queen's Park. You know, she took a back seat because what happened to her afterwards is a friend of hers at school got their arm broken for being associated to her.
No way.
Yeah, that's what happened. So she got really scared. And, you know, I let her make her own decision. So she took a back seat. But that one speech that she did, Rose Project Phoenix, Rose Zoe, Rose Bridget, Rose Joey. She's the reason why these kids all rose. I'm so proud of that.
That's awesome. I didn't know you were involved with them. I got to meet Joey in Ottawa at our John Cena.
Yeah,
he was there, and I got to stand there and talk with him. He was pretty cool kid.
Yeah, he's awesome, man. He's awesome. We had him on The Myth as well. His mom, Luba, is a really, really good friend of mine. She's also a nurse, you know, and she's been around since the beginning. And all these kids, and I got to give credit to everybody out there. Please go check out Project Phoenix. I am so proud of Phoenix. You know, Mary's daughter, this kid started up Project Phoenix. She was one of the Hugs Over Masks girls. And she started up Project Phoenix, and she has been collecting donations and handing out stuff to the homeless. And I mean, relentlessly. I'm so proud of her. She is one strong little girl. You know, and she's about to have, you know what she just said? She wants to hold a rally as a minor and be the one who, the organizer, the main organizer. She goes, let them come find me. Now tell me about that. She's a 14-year-old girl. Wow. And that's how brave and smart she is. These are the kids we need to inspire. It's our obligation to teach them how to be. And I'm so proud of these girls.
Well, they did it. They did it with Greta Thunberg. Let's do it on this end.
Yeah, but we don't even have to, because these kids are raising all by themselves. You know what? Bridget said it the best in Ottawa on August 29th. Go check out her speech. She said it the best. Just because we're young doesn't mean we don't get a say in our future. And amen to that. Amen to that.
We got to reach the millennials, guys. They're the most important aspect in our society, and they're yearning for information. They know that this is a bunch of crap. You talk to a lot of Kelly. I got to give kudos to my daughter because she printed out a brochure this week about the dangers of wearing a mask. She stood in front of the high school and handed out about 400 flyers to kids walking out of school. She went to the other school, stood and popped it properly, handed out, and her Facebook has just exploded over this.
Yep, they're coming. They're catching
on. Kelly, that's a real good method right now. People listening, I urge you, print up a flyer, because there's such a massive censorship in our media right now. It's hard to get information out. Put it on a piece of paper, stand in front of on a public sidewalk in front of a school, and hand it out to the millennials because they're yearning for information. Go ahead, Kelly. We're down the last 5 minutes. It's gone. This hour has gone. Incredibly.
It flew fast.
So what I'm going to do, Kelly, I'm going to let you speak for a couple more minutes. Pat, I'm going to let you speak for a couple more minutes, then I'll have to shut the show. Tell people where they can find you. And Kelly, please tell me you'll come back on again in the near future.
Anytime. Okay. This is great.
You heard it, folks. I'm going to get her back in real quick, and I'm going to hold her to that. Go ahead, Kelly.
So if you guys are looking for me, you can just Google my name and you'll see everything from the Dr. Phil stuff. Now, just to let you know what that happened. So in the beginning of all this, we were handing out flyers, you know, for the other information concerning masks. And we were getting followed around for a few weeks by this little twerp called Brian Tao, and he had a little camera around his neck, and he'd drive around on bicycles wrecking private property of all of our protesters. So I just finished getting assaulted by some guy on a bike, and I put him out, and the cops were coming to arrest him. I turned around, and I saw him provoking Luba, actually Joey's mom, and he took the flyer, and he ripped it up. So I saw him with his little camera, and I'm like, yeah, you want content? So I gave him content. I said the most ridiculous possible things a person could say. And then I ended it with this comment. I said, people like you are no different than the people who threw the Jews into the gas tanks because they were obedient citizens. And I said it on purpose because I knew that anybody with a brain would understand that everything I said prior to that was done on purpose. And then right after that happened, I said to Vlad, I go, watch, this is going to go so viral, I end up on Dr. Phil. Sure enough, I ended up on Dr. Phil. So it was pretty cool. And that's how I got our organizations to explode in the first place. And they did. So if you guys want to reach me, you can go on to freedomforumcanada.com. You can email me at info@mycanadianfreedom.com. We've got the media site will be up and running by Wednesday. And that's going to include all the latest news that's coming out to counter the mainstream. You can use these factual resources and confront the mainstream media. And other than that, I encourage everybody out there, get outside. This is you're Canadians. You're not afraid of no winter. So buckle up. Buckle up, bundle up, and get your buns out there in the streets because we need to raise this country. We raise 50,000 people. We open 100 businesses in any one province. It will domino effect across the country, mark my words. And that's it. We will end this, and we will win it, and we will take our country back, and then we can start focusing on policy reform and getting these corrupt people put in jail. Yeah, so that's about all I got to say. I'm Kellyanne Wolf. Thanks, guys.
I miss you, Kelly. Oh my God.
I miss you too.
You got to get out here to Alberta and come see what we're dealing with. I think you'll have a little bit of a wider perspective, definitely, about what's here in Canada. We're having it here. We've got some rallies, but we don't have the population like you do. So hats off to you guys in Toronto. Hats off to everybody. Thanks for having me last weekend. That was amazing. But I'm looking forward to we want these in courts, ladies and gentlemen. We want to get these into the courts because we're going to show you that the system is broken. The system is devastated. And you guys, when we can show you the proof of our, you'll see that anybody who gets into a courtroom, they give you a gag order or an NDA. I'm not going to take an NDA on mine. I'm not going to take a gag order. You got Adam Skelly got a gag order on social media. Yep. Okay. You got Norm Traversy when we did our MCA stuff on July 1st, when we handed over the documents to the United States Consulate under the USMCA. Now he's under an NDA now. We're all being silenced, but I'm not going to take it. I'm like you, Kelly. I'm a pit bull. I ain't going to take no NDA. I'm going to make sure that this gets spread everywhere. I'm going to prove to everybody that this is broken. And hopefully, just hopefully, we'll be able to wake up a few more because we need the population to supersede 50% of us understanding what is going on. Once we have our 50%, then we're going to start tipping over. And if one business opens up, that's going to open up two more businesses, three more businesses. There's not enough room in the prisons in Canada to lock us up. And it just starts by a snowball effect. And you start one person, tells three, tells five, tells 10, tells 100. And that's where we're at. So kudos to you guys in Toronto. Kudos to everybody out there standing up and giving it like we are. You know, we're just full send on this now because it's getting crunch time. I can feel the noose tightening around our necks a little bit tighter every day. Every day.
Yeah, I'm not scared. I'm not scared, and I'll never stop. Even in prison, I'm telling you, I will make so much noise they will want to kick me out. I'm telling you.
I just said that last night. Can you imagine me in prison? I would rule. Oh, boy.
Well, guys, what can I say? You know what? In all my years of radio, this has been one of the most enjoyable hours I think I've ever done, or close to the top. So I got to thank you guys for coming in. It's great to have a couple pit bulls in here. I hope, like I said, your courage and your tenacity runs off on people listening to this show today, because there's never been a more important time in history, like you guys say, that we stood up to this. It's our moral, it's our civic, it's our duty as human beings on this planet. What's coming for our children, I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy, and we can't make this stuff up. So that being said, I want to thank people for joining us today, people that have tuned in on Pat's Network and Shake and Wake and over People's Internet. Like I said, this has been an awesome show. I'll be vibrating for hours after this one's over. Thanks again, Kelly and Pat, for joining me. And folks, I'll be back next week. Same types. I got great guests coming in next week that want to share the same thoughts. I'll see you then. God bless you all and have a great week. Bye for
you guys. Thanks.
You're listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com. Seeking solutions.